sports destination.
Now launching the dumbest radio show in America. Welcome to Common Man and T-Bone.
This was settling a score. No one got seriously injured. Four guys got thrown out, right?
You took the words right out of my crack.
Oh, I didn't know I did that.
I want to give you a hickey.
I'm sorry.
I agree with everything you just said, which I will never say again. You are no hole.
Featuring Panama Ted.
Too hot.
Timmy Hall.
I will rub one on my face.
And a collection of profane noises.
Coach? No, Dom.
I'm a genetic freak. And I'm not normal.
I won't miss a glory hole.
I'll keep it in the room.
Stop breathing.
It used to be a lot longer.
The numbers don't lie.
Bah! Bah!
This is stupid. This is man and bone.
Happy Friday. Welcome in. Hello, Bone.
Hello, man.
We have Tool of the Week Friday for you. Please send us a tweet at manandbone971. You can text the burner phone, 614-787-3093.
We're watching the Masters, Mike. There's a lot of Masters discussion.
Well, now I actually can.
What do you mean?
Well, because coverage started on TV at 3 o'clock.
Oh, well, yeah.
Before that, it was just like, hey, we're at the Masters, and we'll do some interviews and perhaps show you someone teeing off. But if you want to watch the good stuff, you got to stream.
Yeah. Well, this coverage, though, because the last couple of days I've been, you know, watching it, and I don't watch a ton of golf, but maybe it's just the mood of it being Augusta and the Masters and this whole beautiful landscape they've got. But
it is beautiful.
I've come to a conclusion. I'm curious what your thoughts are. And Ted, obviously, feel free to chime in on this, too. I'm at this point in my life where if the hottest woman in the world was standing in front of me in lingerie, like the most whatever you think looks attractive in lingerie, that's what she's standing in. Or if she was standing in like a regular golf attendee's outfit, like an attractive person wearing the golf clothes with the, you know, the skirt, the skort, whatever that is, even if it's long sleeves. That is almost doing it for me more now than the lingerie ever would. I think that's where I'm at.
You know, that's interesting. Maybe it's because of the time that we grew up. But, you know, back when we were banging.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't have access to the wonders of the internet that we take for granted
today.
They
put it all right there for you.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it was a struggle to try and get a glimpse of ladies in various states of undress.
Of course.
It was a challenge.
Right.
But now we've sort of become desensitized to it. At least I have. You're right. Seeing a very good looking woman in lingerie is exciting. It always will be.
Yeah.
But that's not hard to do. Right?
No, I mean, of course not.
You could get a 6 and put him in lingerie and you're going to make something happen below the equator. In all likelihood.
Right.
But you put someone in golf clothes.
I'm just saying.
And you can make it happen that way.
That's something.
That's an achievement.
Well, like that Paige Spiranak, right? She's one of the hot ladies on Instagram.
She likes to tell you about it.
Well, and she wears all kinds of less than golf clothes, shall we say. But when she's just wearing golf clothes.
Right, she's a very attractive woman. That's right.
Yeah.
She doesn't have to unbutton it.
No, but I'm not opposed to what she does. I'm just saying.
Of course, there's room for all of it.
Yeah, I'm just pointing out that at this point, that's where I think I am. A little more mystery is not bad for me at this stage. That's all.
I think I'm with you. I think that's a mature, older man stance.
Yeah, I mean,
I'd like to see you in more clothes.
Now, I don't know if, like, that's what, again, to each their own. If you want to dress up how you want to dress up, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just saying that's just what I think. That's when I look at someone who's attractive, I say, oh, the golf closed now this weekend.
They make it for you.
They're doing it for me. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I agree.
All right. Well, there's that.
I also would like to point out that, and I know Seinfeld did an episode on this years ago, naked is not a good look for a man.
Yeah.
For most men.
Well, right. Present company clearly included in that, like, but I think for 99% of men,
I mean,
we're
not
making it happen.
No, even the guys who are in shape.
Yeah,
you got to be a special kind of in shape. You got to have the V thing working for you down there,
your adductors or
whatever they're called.
I don't know what they're called. I don't have them. Or if I do, they're buried under mounds of fat.
I mean, we have them. Yeah. They're just not visible.
Yeah, right. I'm with you that I don't know. But then again, I'm told like dad bods are a thing that some women are attracted
to. Get out of here. No, they're attracted to the dad.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, I'm not saying you're not attracted to the guy. I mean, look, I put on formal clothes once in a while. I have to because the function dictates that I have to. So I put on a suit or some nice clothes. And then Kristen comes in. Oh, you look so handsome. I have never been standing in the room naked. And then she walks in and says, oh, you look so handsome. That's never happened.
Oh, yeah.
Ever.
Now, this is married life now. Like, occasionally, my wife and I will be, you know, getting ready or something, and she'll be in a state of undress, or I'll be in a state of undress, and I might say a compliment to her, and she'll be like, hey, shut up. Like, she's not even at that point where it's like, all right, come on, we're in our 40s, you know this, and I'm just like, well, but it's good for me, and she's like, no, don't even go there, that's not even real. That's not, because we know what we are. You know what you are.
I know what I am.
Yeah.
A disgusting lump.
Oh, I've never once in my life on Valentine's Day thought she wants to unwrap this. Like, I've never said those words. I've never thought that. I'm not buying things that put me in.
No, I hope not. Please, please. You're not jumping out of a present with a Chippendales bow around
exactly
your neck.
Right. Yeah, what I do now is the dishes. I go get the dishes
and I
help like straighten up in various other ways. And I do everything I can to be like a good partner. And then that is what ultimately pays off in other ways. That's where it is.
I had to stay home yesterday because Samantha was sick and she requested my presence.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah. And Kristen was busy, couldn't really stay. So I stayed. But I made her watch with me yesterday Field of Dreams.
All right. That's a good choice.
Well, I thought
perfect little sick day movie.
I thought she would enjoy it. There's nothing really too offensive in there for a 7-year-old. And I thought she'd like it. She was excited to watch it because she knew it was one of my favorites.
Well, there you go. That's great.
And I was hesitant because, you know, the last 10 minutes of the movie, I'm just a blubbering mess.
Yeah.
Every single time I watch it. And look, there's nothing. I'm not ashamed of crying as a man. It's just, it's not something that I do in front of my daughter.
Well,
that doesn't normally happen.
But that, I mean, that could be a little bit that you're ashamed of it. And maybe, you know, it's something you work through.
Well, sure. It's okay. And it's you know, you want to have this image of this strong guy who's going to protect her all the time. Because that's how she thinks of me. And that's ridiculous for a lot of you because you know me as me. And if there's a rabid raccoon coming after her, I'm probably going to run away and let her fend for herself.
She's probably faster than you, so it won't matter.
Right,
she'll get back ahead again, no problem.
So I'm watching the movie. And I think she understands some of it, but a lot of the nuance is lost on her. And then the final, you know, few minutes comes on where we have the dead dad reveal himself as the catcher. Kevin Costner realizes who this is.
Yeah,
the whole, hey, dad, you want to have a catch? Is this heaven? All of that.
Sure.
And I thought I'd be able to control myself because she was sitting next to me. But instead, I'm just a blubbering mess.
No.
Just
let it out.
Mess.
Just let it out.
And I can't stifle it. It's just coming, and she looks over at me like, oh, my God, something's wrong.
Well,
what's wrong? Because she equates tears with I'm hurt or I'm really sad.
You know what, though? I'm with you because I've had these moments where I watch a movie. I get very emotional. I don't know what has changed to me over the last 10, 15 years, but it hits now all the time. I'll be watching a Disney movie with them, and I'm like, that's right. Coco, remember me. Like, and I just start tearing up and crying. And I've come to terms with the idea, Mike, that this has to be healthy. It has to be. Because we got too many men in our society that walk around like, I don't feel nothing. And the legs chopped off. Like,
you're right. You're right.
And it hurts. Well, then the girls that we're raising, they see us. And if we're like that, they're like, yeah, I guess that's what a guy is. Then they end up with some emotional jack-off who doesn't know how to like be a human. You got to be human around your kids.
That's right.
You got to be human around people.
That's right. But I was vulnerable in that moment. She gets very concerned then. She's like running to get me a tissue. Is that okay? Are you okay? I said, yes, this is Dad. Do you understand?
Yes, Dad's the ghost.
Yes, but do you understand? Do you understand what's happening here when he has the catch? Do you understand?
Right.
Yes, it's nice.
Yes, it is nice, but there's so much stuff under the surface here.
Oh, sure.
But she can't. She watches it and she's like, oh, that's good. That's good that he says hi to his dad and the dead dad gets to meet the grandkid and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she choked on the hot dog. Now she's okay. That's good stuff.
Right.
For me, I'm just a mess. For her, it's,
that was nice. What happened when they went in the corn?
I don't know what happened. That's why they had to take Terrence Mann out with him.
Right.
So that he can figure out what happened.
What happens out there?
Terrence Mann is going to figure it out and I guess write a book.
There you go. Yeah. I look at all that and say that's part of kids growing up. They learn how to process some of this stuff. And I think it's not meant to hit them. A little kid may not process that's like.
Right. She's seven.
Yeah.
She doesn't know.
No.
She watches Barbie TV shows 24 hours a day.
Exactly right. Yeah. I think that's good. It's good that you're crying in front of the kiddo occasionally. And I get what you're saying. You don't want to do it all the time because then it's like, when do we not cry? But yes, I get your point.
Don't you understand? Doc Graham can't go back.
Right. It's tough.
He crossed the stones. He's an old man again.
What are they doing?
They're all saying, good luck, Doc. You were a good rookie.
Why are they doing that?
Because he can't go back.
Here's how bad I am, dude. One of my favorite movies of all time, randomly, my cable have to stop and watch movie has become Legally Blonde with Reese Witherspoon. Yes.
Never seen it all the way through.
You know what? It's cheesy, hokey, and yet at the end, spoiler alert, it works out for Reese. Yeah. At the end, she's like the head of her class and everyone who's making fun of her is like, you know, eating poo. Sitting there in the crowd watching her. I'm like, yeah, that's right. Girl power, Reese. You got it. Like, I don't know why. I feel the same way at the end of Rocky as I do at the end of Legally Blonde. I don't know why that happened.
And it's all about the music, too, man. It's just a perfect score.
They do hit the music.
You know, you
on
could have the
these,
exact same moment. The exact same moment. Hey, Dad, you want to have a catch? If this is playing.
Time to play the game.
Like, I guess I want to have a catch. Why is there a shirtless, oiled up, long haired man screaming at us
People
right now?
People will come, Ray. It doesn't work. It's all about the. And if there were no music, if there was nothing, it wouldn't work.
Oh, my God. Triple H is going to hit Ray with a sledgehammer.
Good God. Get him out of there. Stop this thing.
If Terrence Mann had started his speech with, it's all about the game and who's going to make it, I mean, the idea could still be the same. The constant has been baseball.
I would just like it if James Earl Jones said, oh, let's get ready to suck it! Like, just yells that. That'd be great.
All right. What do we have? Oh, we got spring game tomorrow. We'll talk about it next. Common Man and T-Bone on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza.
We've got a 5-minute slowdown due to an accident blocking the left lane on eastbound 670 at Neal Avenue. It is stop and go from 33 and a 10-minute delay on southbound 315 between Ackerman Road and I-70. This report is sponsored by Ohio 811. Call before you dig. Contact Ohio 811 at least 48 hours before you dig. It's easy to do and it's the law. CenterPoint Energy, Columbia Gas, Duke Energy, and Enbridge Gas want you to dig safely. Contact Ohio 811 every time you dig. I'm Nicole for 97.1, The Fan Traffic.
Best known for their contributions to the fast food breakfast world, this is Man and Bone.
Happy Friday. It is Tool of the Week Friday. Send in your Twitter tools at Man and Bone 971. You can also text the burner phone 614-787-3093. Spring game is tomorrow. Our coverage starts at 10. The game is at noon. Reeser and Tyvis Powell will be on after the game for reaction.
Very good.
Also, no surprise, big recruiting weekend, too. Like 45 VIPs will be here, some top recruits to check out the atmosphere.
I'm guessing that's not just football recruits, too. Like, it'll probably be a big recruiting weekend for everyone who's recruiting and able to recruit at this time of year.
I saw the poll question today, ER Auto Care fan poll. Which Buckeye newcomer are you most interested in watching tomorrow's spring game? Caleb Downs, Julian Sayin, Jeremiah Smith, or other? You see the catch that Jeremiah Smith made today?
I did not see this one. I've seen some video, a couple others that are posted, but
where it's just, you know, it's just the corner of the end zone, one hand up in the air, stick it, bring it back down. Ho hum. Apparently people have been watching practice. Just another ho hum Jeremiah Smith catch. So yeah. I'm excited to see that. I mean, we've been spoiled with great wide receiver play around here recently. I am curious to see Julian saying, because everybody that I've heard from who's been at practice has said the hype is real on this dude. So let me see it.
Yeah. Well, I think that's where, as much as I'm very excited about Jeremiah Smith being as good as it looks like he can be, from everything we're hearing, everything we're seeing, I'm interested in the quarterbacks because of the reason that most of football is obsessed with quarterbacks, right? Doesn't matter if you have Randy Moss in his prime, you have to have someone who can actually get the ball somewhere near his vicinity, make the right read, make the right throw. That's easier to do when you have great wide receivers who can go make plays for you. But as we saw last year,
you essentially had Randy Moss in his prime last year.
You could argue that, right.
And this offense struggled because your quarterback play was not consistent enough.
Yeah, and Emeka Buka was supposed to be in this NFL draft. He's not because of this offense not getting him the ball enough and this offense not being efficient enough. So I'm more curious about how the quarterback play is and who ends up winning that job. I said this yesterday. I don't know how you feel about it. I'm done with us having like feel good time for the five dudes who all want to play quarterback for Ohio State. Newsflash to Ryan Day and everybody else over there on the offensive coaching staff. There's a million guys that want to play quarterback at Ohio State. None of them are good enough. The five that you have, there's only two of them, maybe three of them possibly that are good enough. Like the guy who's going to be the guy, we need to know that sooner than later. Not me and you. Ryan Day needs to know that. I don't care if he doesn't tell us. I'm saying he's got to know who that guy is. And then the backup, he better know real quick after this weekend who that is. Focus all the attention on getting those two ready to go.
I agree with you, but you know how coaches operate. They want that illusion of competition. They're going to go into fall practice and say it's anybody's job. Now, last year, I don't think he was fooling us. I think he genuinely was just waiting for somebody to step up and say, I'm this much better than the next dude.
Right.
And that never happened.
Well, I know, but I also think sometimes it's a chicken or the egg type of thing, isn't it? Unless, again, you may have a stud who just shows up and knocks everybody's socks off and is the clear number one at quarterback. But what's very likely to have happen instead is you have a guy who does some things well and a guy who does some things that are not as good. And you've got to make those decisions. I would like Ryan Day to be as clear-headed as possible on that. Make that decision as early as possible so that the confidence of the player is there, right? I feel like at least some of what happens and some of what we've been hearing about all five of these guys, man, they're all looking great. Oh, this guy's good. This guy. Oh, man. I feel like some of that is trying to keep recruiting going because you have to recruit 24/7, even with guys that have been on your team for 3 years. You have to keep recruiting them all the way until they leave.
Yeah.
So I am saying at some point, I think with quarterback play, that needs to change. I think you don't need to recruit all these guys. I don't think you're going to keep all five-star guys all on your roster. I don't think you're going to have four five-stars in that room. You need to get the two guys that are the best, and that's his job. That's why he's paid $10 million, is to know which of those two guys are better than the other ones. And if the other guys are mad about that and they transfer out, all right. You have to be confident enough in your decision to let them know so that you can go forward with actually building this offense around these guys and not like, well, we might need the fourth stringer. If you do, then disasters happen, right? At some point, you got to have a starter and you got to have a backup who's competent. And outside of that, there's not a lot of room for reps beyond those two guys.
10 a.m. is when the coverage starts tomorrow, kick shortly after noon. Kentucky is hiring BYU's Mark Pope to be their new head man. Now, he played there in the 90s, had success. They won championships. According to reports, everybody and their mother turned him down. They had this wish list of all these big-time names. They made the calls. They offered tons of money. According to some reports, the most money any college coach has ever been offered, ever.
Yeah.
Said no.
If you didn't hear this, they obviously started with Dan Hurley, who's coaching at UConn. He politely, I'm sure, turned them down and said, no, I've won two national championships in a row. I'm not going anywhere. And then the Scott Drew one, I was surprised. I thought Scott Drew would be a great fit at Kentucky. He obviously has won a lot at Baylor, won a national championship there. And that made a lot of sense to me. That's about the only place you could go from where Baylor, what he's built it into. But he probably looked at the situation and said, I could go to Kentucky where they're crazy and the expectations are wild, but I could be, you know, I could run the state essentially, or I can stay in Baylor where I got a pretty good gig going. I'm going to get just about as much money as they're getting at Kentucky. And I'm already a god because I won them national championship.
Oh, and I'm already filthy rich.
Yeah, right. I don't have to. I don't need that for ego. Oh,
and they just called again. And we just signed a new contract 8 minutes ago, and they've ripped it up, and they've given me another contract.
Yeah.
For more money.
That's where I feel like it's tough to convince one of those guys who's already won a national championship to leave. I'm surprised that where they ended up was Mark Pope, just from the standpoint of who else beyond those two guys turned them down. And we may never know. I did see one of the boosters for Kentucky was getting tweeted. I forget the woman's name, but she was like on, like doing a workout thing, and she had posted like, great day to be a Wildcat and all this stuff. And it's like, okay, she apparently likes this hire. Maybe that's partially why they went in this direction. I don't know. But this is going to be one of the taller coaches we've seen in college basketball, Mike. Mark Pope is 6'10".
Let him live.
Like John Thompson back on the sidelines, right? Big, tall guy out there just, you know, kind of letting everybody know. Hopefully he gets just as fired up as John Thompson did too.
A banner could be getting ready to go up at Nationwide. Details next. Common Man and T-Bone on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza.
Stop-and-go traffic is causing a five-minute delay on eastbound 70 on the west side between Central Avenue and 315. And watch out for an accident on westbound 161 between 270 Northeast and Strawberry Farms Boulevard. This report is sponsored by the Ohio Housing Finance Agency. Thinking of buying a home but don't think you can afford it? The Ohio Housing Finance Agency provides down payment assistance and affordable loan options to eligible Ohioans. Learn more and find out if you qualify by visiting myohiohome.org. Homeownership, make it part of your future. I'm Nicole for 97.1 The Fan.
Yes, we tried unplugging and then plugging them back in. It didn't help. This is Man and Bone.
This dumb show brought to you by the Hinder Motor Company. Oh, am I supposed to do a read here? Oh, crap.
Oh.
Teddy.
What's the read?
Why didn't you remind me?
What? It's Ted's fault that you didn't
remember. You reminded me 2 hours ago.
I didn't get paid for that. So.
That's right. There you go. Ted needs a reminder fee put into any endorsement that we were going
to
do.
I want to talk to you about my friends at Universal Windows Direct. Universal Windows, they have this incredible technology. It's developed by NASA. Did you know that, Bone?
I didn't know that.
NASA.
No.
It's called Super Spacer. It keeps the edge of the glass warmer, holds the window seal longer, makes the windows last up to 5 times longer than other window symptoms and systems. Hmm. And one of the symptoms is leaking air in and out of your house, costing you money. Don't throw money out the window, literally. Schedule your free in-home estimate today, and for every 2 windows you buy, you get the next 2 free. Plus, a free upgraded triple pane glass, and they're going to double your energy tax credit. Tell them I told you to call and get an additional $250 off your project. Just call them up. Say, hey, Universal Windows? Yeah, Common Man says, pee-pee no worky. Oh, that's the other thing. No, this is Windows no worky. Please help me.
Windows start leaky, pee-pee no worky.
Mm-hmm. UniversalWindowsDirect.com. Like me, you'll be saying, I love my windows.
There you go.
Let's get ready to hoist a banner over at Nationwide, shall we?
Oh, yeah? What's that for?
Well, I mean, the Jackets aren't going to do it, but I did see the Cleveland Monsters have clinched their first playoff berth in 5 years. So congratulations to them.
Well, that means some of the young players will actually get playoff experience, which is, I know, that's the only thing that matters, Mike, is they get playoff experience. Doesn't matter in what league or if they're doing it against competition that's vastly inferior to NHL competition. No, it's very important that our young stars don't actually come up here and perform. We got to keep them in Cleveland so they can learn and grow on a now playoff team, apparently.
Well, the good news is that the season concludes April 21st, the AHL season, which is 5 days after the conclusion of the Jackets season. So any AHL players that are currently on the Jackets roster, they can go back there and get the playoff experience.
Sure.
And people are saying, you know, because this Jackets roster has been so decimated.
Yeah, right.
Once you get their stars back in the AHL, you know what I would do just for punishment?
What's that?
Even though contractually you can't, I would make Johnny Gaudreau play in this Calder Cup playoffs.
Oh, no.
Hey, man.
No,
you scored 11 goals during the regular season. You owe us more goals. Go up to Cleveland.
No, Mike.
They need a veteran presence.
You and I are the Neanderthals. I've been told by the Jackets hockey know-it-alls that I'm not talking all Jackets fans. I'm talking about the ones who, when the Jackets have historically one of their worst seasons of all time, the one we're in now, they will go, yeah, but you don't get it, man. You don't get why this team is actually really close. I guess I don't. But
you're all fools.
I've learned.
You're all fools.
This past week, because we brought this up, that Johnny Gaudreau is not really a guy who scores goals. He's not his goal scorer. He's a facilitator, and he is facilitating to the tune of almost 50 assists, and he's doing that with nobody out there.
Right,
so he's actually having a tremendous season, and you and I are too stupid to see it.
Okay. Well, you know what? Then it's a reward.
It is.
As a reward for your tremendous season, go play some more hockey.
Can we get him some playoff experience? Because he's not going to get that either here this year. Didn't get it last year either. He might forget where the playoffs are. May not ever know.
Anyway, if they win the Calder Cup, and they're going to be dangerous. A lot of people are saying that.
The Monsters
are going to be dangerous. Yeah. I think we screw Cleveland. We have the banner down here.
Oh, put it up.
We put it up over at Nationwide.
You know what? Can we actually swap teams? I'd like that. Because then
can I tell you something? Looked at this roster, buddy? We have swap
teams. Then when I
teams.
Go to Nationwide and see a minor league hockey team, it'd be like, well, that is what they were advertising after all. It's what they're charging the prices for. So, yeah, that makes sense. We're watching minor league hockey.
Jackets got shut out by the Panthers and Bob last night. They will play in Nashville tomorrow. Two more games left, Bone, and it's all done. Until next year when it starts again.
Let me tell you. This team, you know, the old phrase in hockey, it's in basketball too now, is, you know, they're looking for the golf course, they're getting their clubs ready. This Jackets team has had the clubs ready since February. This is...
February?
Well, I'm saying, as far as anybody even attempting to try, I know that there were injuries, I know there were things that happened, but like...
Oh, stop.
I'm saying the last 2 months, this team hasn't looked like they're giving any effort, they don't try, they look like a joke. This is a joke franchise yet again, and in fact... I actually don't blame the players completely for that, because look at the ownership, look at the front office, status quo. Yeah, they got rid of Yarmo after 11 mostly disappointing and dismal seasons. I don't blame the players for going, well, they don't care, why should I? And you know what? To some degree, I respect that.
Last game of the year is Tuesday, right? Tuesday at home.
I think that's it.
Carolina. I'm sure it'll be a nice crowd, because they've had nice crowds all season long. And I'm not blaming the fans, because fans want to have a nice night out. They enjoy hockey. I get it.
It's not fans' fault that the team sucks.
I know. But I know what's going to happen on Tuesday night. I mean, there's going to be good tidings in there, because it's the last game of the season. And I know for a lot of you season ticket holders, you know, you see each other during the course of the fall and winter and early spring. And it's like your family there. Oh, hey, how you doing, Phil? Oh, okay, see you in a couple days. And you get to know people, and it's going to be like a big goodbye party on Tuesday.
Sure.
What it should be is an opportunity for that final whistle to blow and for you to tell that team exactly what you think of them. And I'm not just talking about the players on the ice, because I want them to hear it all the way from their bunker in Worthington, wherever the hell they are.
Yeah, you're right, man.
I want them to hear you say, it's been 24 years of this garbage. We're fed up with it. Fed up with it.
Yeah.
I wish you would.
No, I get it, though. I don't necessarily even blame a fan base for not wanting to do that at this point, because we have to do everything.
No, I know. You're right.
Like, you know what I mean?
You're
like,
right. It's not on the fans. I get it.
Fans have to, at some point, acknowledge that it's the ownership being terrible. What does bother me to some degree is the amount of people that shrug their shoulders and go, oh, well, get them next time, about a team that's never got them next time. You know, that part, the apathy and the idea of, we just go here because we like the environment and the fun and we see people we know and all that. That country club atmosphere is not great for building a winning hockey franchise, but who else is going? If you're someone who's passionate about winning hockey, you left long ago with this Jackets team. You know they're not built for anything for the next few years. They're a disaster. They got a new GM, hopefully, that can rescue things, but that's a crapshoot.
We don't know who this is going to be.
No, I'm saying there's a possibility that you luck into one that is actually great, but I don't trust this front office and their process, the ownership group. I don't trust JD to make this hire. I don't think he's on the ball anymore with this stuff. I don't think he knows what it takes to build a winner in the NHL. Maybe he did it one time, but not now. So we're stuck with this until something else changes.
Masters continuing today. Who's leading, Teddy? Bryson?
Yeah, DeChambeau is in the lead. He just birdied 12, so he's up a shot.
How's Tiger doing? Is he going to make the cut?
Last I saw, he was right around the cut line, so he still had a couple holes to finish.
That's a thing you can obviously bet on, is will player X make the cut? And I know Tiger was one of those guys that a lot of people are putting money on one way or the other, because it just, you know, makes that more interesting. Right. If he's not going to be out there winning it, there's a lot of reasons to root for Tiger one way or the other. So
yeah, it looks like he will make the cut. So yeah.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Let him live. Reds in Chicago for the White Sox tonight. Enjoy your victory there. Guardians starting up a series with the Yankees tonight. That game's actually been postponed because of the weather. So doubleheader tomorrow.
That's right.
Is that a straight doubleheader? Or
I didn't see.
Split.
You know, I'm sure they're all split.
I'm going to say split.
Yeah.
All right. Be nice if it was, though.
We're going to play a little game because it's spring game tomorrow. We're going to play an attendance guessing game coming up next. Common Man and T-Bone on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza.
There's some stop-and-go traffic on southbound 71 on the north side between East Broad Street and I-70, and a small delay due to an accident on the right shoulder of eastbound 70 on the east side between Livingston Avenue and 33. This report is sponsored by Ohio 811. Call before you dig. Contact Ohio 811 at least 48 hours before you dig. It's easy to do, and it's the law. CenterPoint Energy, Columbia Gas, Duke Energy, and Enbridge Gas want you to dig safely. Contact Ohio 811 every time you dig. I'm Nicole for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
No Desmond Howard death wishes since 2012. This is Man and Bone.
Teddy, the cut's at plus four. Tiger's at plus one.
Yes.
So unless he totally craps himself, it looks like he's going to make the cut.
Yeah,
right?
He should definitely make it now. Yeah,
all right.
Like you say, he's got one hole left. So
good for Tiger.
Yeah, that's very impressive.
Yeah. This is good news for those of you who are following for Tiger, want to see him be around Saturday, Sunday. Nothing wrong with that.
Beamer is the biggest Tiger Woods fan in the history of the world.
Dude,
the history of the world.
Every time a tournament starts where Tiger is playing, when he tees off, I will know because Beamer will tweet out that gif that he loves, which is a tiger, an actual tiger, jumping out of the tall grass and attacking a man who appears to be riding an elephant. Every time I see that, it freaks me out because I couldn't imagine being that man on that elephant watching a tiger leap at you with ill intent. But that is a great gif, and he tweets it out all the time whenever Tiger's doing anything.
Beamer has a very handsome little boy. How old is
he just turned a year old.
Just hold a year, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I believe, now he'll never admit it, that if you told Beamer, we can guarantee you that Tiger's going to win at Augusta this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
He will complete the comeback. He will get another green jacket. He will win the Masters. All you have to do is you have to physically amputate one of your kid's arms. He would do it.
One arm will.
And he would justify, hey, man, builds character. I'm giving him a gift, actually.
Big dog's going to be a lefty, it looks like. That's what he would say. I guarantee you. Yeah, you're probably right.
Spring game tomorrow. 11 Warriors put together a list of the top attended spring games in history. Now, this has just recently become a thing. And by recently, I mean in the last 20 years.
Yeah, I mean, the spring game used to be a thing that you would go to. I mean, I remember going as a kid as a way. My family didn't have season tickets. We never went to Buckeye football games unless someone gave us tickets. So that was our trip to go and see the stadium and check it out for once. But I don't remember as a kid there being a full house or anything close. You'll remember at that time, I don't know if they would take them down for the spring game, but there was a portion of the year where the South stands were not permanent. They were just,
right.
I mean, they didn't exist for a long part of Ohio State's history, but when they had the South stands initially, they were torn down at the end of each year and put away so they could have it for track and field. And then they put them back up at the start of football season. So you couldn't get 100,000 people in there, I'm guessing, back when I was going to these spring games when I was a kid.
When's that?
Back when I was banging.
Yeah. So Ryan Day said earlier this week that he hopes to have a full house. They've already sold 50,000 tickets as of like Tuesday. So, you know, who the hell knows? The weather tomorrow, for what it's worth, The high is supposed to be 64. It's not going to be 64, though, at noon when this game starts. It'll be in the 40s in the morning, so a little chilly.
You know what?
And I think it is supposed to be breezy as well.
If there's sun, though...
Yes, mainly sunny.
That'll feel good. And I actually think, like, 50s with sun and a little breeze probably ain't going to be the worst day you've ever had at Ohio Stadium.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that keeps people away, nice. But we're trying to guess an attendance here. So here are the top five most attended spring games of all time. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Number five was back in 2017, 80,134.
All right. Yeah.
Number four was back in 2012, 81,112. Number three, 2009, 95,722.
Oh, my.
The first two on this list are technically sellouts. They sold out in 2015, 99,391. And then in 2016, 100,189.
Yeah, that was right after, well, one of them was right after national championship with Urban. And then I think the year after that, they said, we want to break the record we set last year. So it happened again.
Right.
I believe.
Right.
Am I wrong? 2009, would that have been like prime Terrell Pryor? Or would that have been his first year getting the job? Something like that, right?
Yes, was Terrell Pryor playing in that game. One of my favorite names. I actually have it here on my computer. I got to pull it up. Where is it?
What are we?
I'm looking.
I don't know who we're talking about.
I'm looking.
Jim Tressel.
No, it's not Tressel. I got my whole list of Buckeye names here.
Aaron Kraft. Not even a football player.
Did somebody take all my Buckeye names off my screen?
Yeah, probably so. Or you just have them disorganized and no one knows where they are.
Yesterday, Bone.
You know, I did. I was over there messing with them.
Yeah.
Or they're just not there.
Mm-hmm.
What are you looking for?
Somebody took my... Oh, here it is. I'm sorry. I'm stupid. Here it is.
I know you are.
Ray Small.
Oh, was that a Ray Small game?
That was Terrell Pryor. Ray Small.
There we go.
Scored a touchdown in that game.
Sure. That's... Now, I'm not saying this is what's going to happen tomorrow, but let's be aware of a little thing called the spring game... You know, heroes that we have sometimes that show up. They look great in a spring game. You never hear from them again.
Bam Childers.
I wasn't going to name names, but that is one that comes right to mind.
Bam Childers.
I feel like once there was a Reggie Germany game, maybe back in the day. Remember wide receiver Reggie Germany? I feel like that was a thing. I'm just saying, let's be aware that some of what you see tomorrow, there are people who want narratives to happen. They believe that this guy is the dude and they see something and it's like, oh man, he's second or third string, but he should be starting. Maybe the case. I'm guessing what you see with the guys that you know are probably going to be pretty for real, right?
Brandon Sane.
If you think that Jeremiah Smith, that I don't think would be a fluke. If he has a big catch or something, that's probably not a fluke, right? But if it's guys that you've never heard of who show a flash for a moment, just be aware. That may just be a little spring game thing that happened.
Brandon Jove.
Your guy.
Maurice Hall.
Maurice Hall is my guy.
Mm-hmm.
Living out in L.A., trying to live the dream.
Oh, as an actor?
As an actor. Oh, that's okay. Right.
I forgot all about
that. He's done some stuff out there.
I forgot all about that.
High-powered friends, Maurice Hall. He'll have you killed.
Oh, I didn't even know about all that.
I don't know about that.
I don't know either. Yeah, is Maurice Hall the name of the guy that... Who was the lineman that flipped off Michigan when he left? I know it's not that Maurice Hall, but what was that guy's name? Wasn't it?
Oh, was it the same name? It wasn't.
I think it might have been one of those where that was the same name. I could be wrong. I'm trying to think now. Because, see, every time I'm getting confused because there are Buckeyes that have, we have had guys that have the same names, don't play the same position. This is a great conversation.
Mm-hmm.
God, I feel like.
Well, you know, Ted can help us. He's just watching us flounder.
I feel like.
Marcus Hall.
Mike and the Mad Dog is what I
Marcus
feel like right now.
Hall.
Marcus Hall. You're right.
Not
I'm
Maurice
so stupid.
Hall.
Maurice Hall.
Sorry about that. Mm-hmm. Stupid.
Yeah, stupid. What was I going to say to you? I had something to say. This show sucks.
Dude, this is the worst segment we've ever done. I want to leave and never come back. This is so bad.
Hey, where's Hungarian Tracksuit Man? Is he in there?
My brain just left my ear in the last 5 minutes. I don't know what happened,
right,
guys.
Well, you
I'm
know
sorry.
What?
We're going to try
We're
to regroup.
We're going to totally... redeem ourselves.
Are we?
Yes, because next segment, Fat Boy Food Tip.
Okay, thank God.
At least this is stuff we know about.
Being fat.
Hey,
yes.
Everybody. That's guess it. The attendance.
I don't know.
Common Man and T-Bone on the Fan.
Fan Traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza.
You're going to find some slow traffic on southbound 71 on the north side between 17th Avenue and 5th Avenue. And watch out for an accident on Sullivan Avenue at Wilson Road. This report is sponsored by Ohio 811. Call before you dig. Contact Ohio 811 at least 48 hours before you dig. It's easy to do, and it's the law. CenterPoint Energy, Columbia Gas, Duke Energy, and Enbridge Gas want you to dig safely. Contact Ohio 811 every time you dig. I'm Nicole for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
The only thing harder than common man's arteries is T-Bone thinking about a red-bellied woodpecker. This is Man and Bone.
Happy Friday. It's Tool of the Week Friday. Send in your Twitter tools at manandbone971. Text the burner phone 614-787-3093. Also, subscribe to the podcast. It is available wherever you get your podcast. Just search Common Man and T-Bone. Click subscribe. Every single show comes right to your device free of charge. Podcast brought to you by our friends, Care Heating and Cooling.
By the way, we didn't mention this. Tiger does look like he has officially made it to Saturday.
He finished his round. He made the cut.
Yep. So with that, that is 24 consecutive made cuts at the Masters for one Tiger Woods. That is the record. So he just set a record by doing that.
Also, Bryson DeChambeau, unless this is photoshopped, has decided to pick up one of the like big signs. How would you classify this? A roadway sign?
It looks like if you were, when you're at a golf course, they have signs pointing if you're heading to the seventh fairway, let's say, or you're going to the ninth green. Well, how do you get there? And these are little crossroad signs that say, go this way, go that way. He's picked one of them up and he's carrying it around
like it's a crucifix.
I don't know why either,
but you know what? I am told the people at Augusta very loose and fast with the rules, and they don't care about any of this.
Yeah.
I can tell you why.
What happened?
He hit a wayward shot off the tee, and so he was trying to clear the area of where his next shot was going to be. And that's like a, you know, that's not as an obstruction that he can legally move. So that's why he wanted to get out of the way.
Well, he is a hulking man. Can he just rip a tree out from under?
Yeah.
From the ground as well, if he can.
Is a movable obstruction, is that based on your strength?
Yes, I think so.
If Samson from the Bible was playing golf, can he just rip out like a building? Because apparently he was strong enough to do that.
Yeah, well, definitely.
Let's say that like he couldn't do it. Maybe his caddy could do it. Could you just say like, hey, Bill, go move that sign for me? Or do you physically have to do it as the golfer?
I don't know the rules of the game there.
Well, I think you should have to do it yourself.
And then I think so too.
If you can do it, you know, if there's like a big rock in your way or something like that, you know, if you can do it yourself, then fine. You know, I think that's how it should be.
I think that should be the rule. But I also think if you have a caddy who is also actually the rock, then he can pick it up and move it, I think you should extend it to the caddy.
Okay.
Because then you would have caddy decisions based on, hey, man, I know how to play this course. I don't need some caddy giving me, you know, feedback. I need someone who's a big, strong man who can move stuff out of the way. Yeah. And then maybe he pulls like a sapling out of the ground or an azalea bush and just chucks it over there.
Just so you bench pressing a 600-pound woman.
No, I said I would move.
I don't care. I'm doing this anyway.
I'm doing it. Yeah.
It's kind of like NASCAR, how, you know, before when they would do pit stops, they would just have any old guy come out there and do the pit stops, right? And it might be smoking a heater.
It was guys they knew who were mechanics who could work on the car. Yeah.
Yeah. But now, you know, they have these professional, almost like, you know, former athletes and they're out there running around, you know, jacking up the car.
They recruit former college football, basketball, baseball players who are like big bodied, strong guys who are, it's like, hey, you don't have to know how to work on these cars. You just have to change the tire. We'll teach you how to do that. And yeah, you're right. So now the caddy could just become anybody who can move a heavy object.
Yes.
I like that.
All right, Fat Boy Food Tap.
Common Man and T-Bone have very little value unless they're telling you about all the crap they can shove in your mouth so you can die quicker. It's time for Fat Boy Food Tip. Wait, how do you want me to say it? Tip. This is dumb. I quit.
You know, Bone, I was reading a nice piece in the New York Post today about what Taco Bell executives order when they go to Taco Bell.
All right. Well, that sounds interesting. Please tell me these people actually like Taco Bell.
It sounds like they do. I mean, some of these people are going like four times a week.
Oh, there we go. Nice.
Taco Bell's chief marketing officer, whose name is Taylor Montgomery, been with the franchise for more than 8 years. He revealed that he eats Taco Bell every other day.
Okay.
He said, here's what he orders pretty much every time. 2 to 3 crunchy tacos, not supreme, just regular crunchy tacos, and a bean burrito with extra onions grilled.
Okay.
He says, you have to try it. It's life-changing.
I never would have thought to get something. I've never thought of doing extras to the bean burrito.
Well, that makes sense, though, to get it grilled, though, because bean burrito, while delicious, is very soft on soft.
It is. It's a lot of mushy.
Soft tortilla with the soft beans, all of that. But you get that tortilla crispy.
Sure.
On the flat top a little bit.
Yeah.
That's a new experience.
That could be
for
very
you.
Good. I've never thought to do that. All right. I like that.
Another guy, Sean Shrevis.
Sean.
He is the CEO of Taco Bell.
Okay.
He says he hits up Taco Bell 3 to 4 times a week. He says he is a fan of the crunchy tacos, but he likes his supreme style with tomatoes and sour cream.
Okay.
He also chooses 1 beef and 1 chicken.
Oh.
So he just doesn't like the ground beef. He wants 1 ground beef, 1
sure.
chicken.
All right.
He says he always gets a bean burrito, too. Apparently, it's a favorite of the people who work at Taco Bell.
I got to tell you, I rarely, if ever, get a bean burrito, and I often wonder, who eats the bean burrito? The answer is the executives at Taco Bell.
Shockingly, they say they're both big fans of the new Cantina chicken menu.
I'm quite sure
which
they
are. Happens to be their new and most expensive thing at Taco Bell.
Yeah. I will say, Chops has turned me on to this, though. If you use the app, their little combos they do in the app, that is where it actually gets back to, like, regular Taco Bell prices. Even in the app, it can be a little pricey. But if you use their boxes that they make, that's where you get a halfway decent deal now.
The, what's this guy's name again?
I don't know. I don't know what you're looking at.
The chief marketing. I'm back to the chief marketing officer.
I forget.
He says his secret hack for the chicken quesadilla is not much of a secret hack as it is get extra chicken.
Oh, sure.
In the quesadilla, which, yes.
We were talking about that with the soft potato, the spicy potato taco, the soft taco they have. I accidentally got one with double the potato in it, and it was very good. If they will let you do that, I will gladly do that. Can you ask for extra chicken in the quesadilla?
You can. You they'll charge you for it. But
well, sure. But you know what? Sign me up. It's already expensive as it is. Might as well make it more expensive.
And I was thinking about this because they talked about how at their headquarters in Irvine, California, the Taco Bell headquarters, they have a Taco Bell cafeteria inside the building.
That's good.
Which essentially serves as a Taco Bell franchise. It's just right there for all the employees to eat.
Yeah. That's how could that be bad?
Is there a more high-profile job in fast food? Obviously, I'm not talking about being an executive, and I'm not comparing it to working in a coal mine or being an offshore oil driller, nothing like that. But the pressure that must exist if you work in the Taco Bell location making the food for all the people who work at Taco Bell. Because everything has to look perfect, right? They got to make it look like the picture. Regular Taco Bell location, they can get sloppy with the sour cream gun. But inside the headquarters, you can't give somebody a sloppy burrito.
No way.
You gotta make it like it's supposed to be made, or else it's your ass.
Yeah, and probably can't overfill it either, right? Because they probably don't want you to.
Right, the proportions
come in and say,
have to be right.
Hang on a second. I appreciate you doing double meat here, but that's not how this is made. And I didn't ask for double meat. Make it the way it's supposed to be. Yeah, I would be very concerned about that. I've thought a lot about those corporate kitchens, you know, where they have the restaurants, the headquarters of these restaurants, inside those places, they have to have some really cool stuff. We have a few of those here in town, buddy.
I know.
It's not Taco Bell.
I'd love to be invited.
We have the Wendy's Road headquarters here. White Castle's headquarters are like just across the freeway from where we are. I'm just saying, if you've got one of those test kitchen things or one of those places where you're putting out the food and
the invitations should be out there. Because
we will accept them. That's what we're saying. You will not be rejected.
We have a segment called Fat Boy Food Tip. Nobody knows more about this genre than me and Bone. You want to take advantage of our expertise.
I hit up drive-thrus sometimes 2 times, maybe 3 times a day, depending on how the day has gone. I'm just telling you, you want me on that wall. You want me in that cafeteria. You need me in that cafeteria to tell you if this food you're making is good or not.
All right, here's a couple other tidbits for you. One is selfish on my part. Well, they're both selfish on my part. For years, I have wanted Krispy Kreme to sell their cinnamon roll donuts every single day.
I don't know if I've ever had one of those.
They're delicious. I mean, it's not going to make you... It's not a...
Is it a cinnamon roll that's like the size of a donut? Is that what you're saying?
It is shaped like a cinnamon roll.
Yes, yes. Okay.
It has cinnamon swirls on the inside.
And it's got the icing on top.
But it's the glaze. Glaze.
Yeah.
It's the Krispy Kreme glaze. It's not like you're going getting cream cheese icing. It's not a Cinnabon.
Right. Okay.
But it's, if you like cinnamon, if you like Krispy Kreme things, it's very delicious. They only had it on Sundays.
Okay. I didn't even know that.
Yes. But now they say they're going to have it every day.
Oh, wonderful.
So if you enjoy it, pop in. And if the location is the one in Dublin, they'll look at you and say, oh, we're not open. We don't know how to make it. Everything excuse in the book they will give to you.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. Also, you know I'm a big fan of the value sandwich at McDonald's, which I think is often overlooked, and that is the McChicken.
It's great.
All their advertising falls on the McCrispy and all their premium chicken products. But for me,
the McChicken
is where it's at. The original chicken, it's a value proposition. It's also delicious. So on Friday, last Friday, 1 week ago, went on my app. Same location, by the way.
All right.
McChicken is exactly where it should be at $1.99. That's a hell of a deal.
That's a great deal.
$1.99, yes. McChicken, purchased it, ate it, blah, delicious. Tuesday.
Yeah.
Same location. Tuesday this week. Go app. It's $2.09.
Okay.
They raised the price.
That's up. That's more expensive.
$2.09. Okay. That you say, oh, it's a dime. What's the big deal? It's a big deal when part of the attraction is the value of this.
That's right.
Okay?
Yeah.
So anyway, $2.09. Still bought it. Wah, ate it up. Very delicious. I go today. Now maybe you're saying, common man, you got a problem. That's a different conversation. But I go today, get in the app, same location. I told you $1.99 last Friday, $2.09 on Tuesday. Today, $2.19.
Yeah.
That's two price hikes of 10 cents in 1 week.
That's no good, man.
Inexcusable.
No, it's not. It's not okay. And I got to tell you, I very vividly remember the time where the McChicken was like $1.29. That was not that long ago. So now we're talking it's up over $2.20.
Inexcusable. CNBC squawk on the street this week. The stocks went down because inflation was hot. The number came out. They said, oh, this is higher than expected. I could have told you that.
Yeah.
Fast food places could have told you before the official numbers came out yesterday because we see things like that in the app.
Yeah, that's
right. We know inflation's going to be hot.
Yeah, there you go. I think these fast food places are doing it on purpose. They're like, oh, yeah, inflation, that's it. That's why we're raising the prices, not because of anything else.
If you're going to throw a dime or 20 cents on something.
Right.
Wouldn't it be like a double quarter pounder with cheese, with bacon? Because look, if you want that, there's not a lot else that's going to scratch that itch. And that's already an $11 proposition.
It's a premium product, yeah.
Right. But if you're getting the McChicken, you're pretty passionate about the McChicken and value.
Yeah, you're okay with the taste of it, but you're more excited about the fact that you can get maybe two of them for like less than $3, which is a good deal when you can do that. Not
exactly.
Anymore.
All right, Tom Brady's pissing me off. I'll tell you why coming up next. Common Man and T-Bone on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza.
Traffic is moving slowly on eastbound 270 on the north outer belt between 315 and 71. And you'll hit some more slow traffic on westbound 670 between 71 and 3rd Street. This report is sponsored by Oaks Roofing and Siding. Your home's roof should be built to last, like the reputation of Oaks Roofing and Siding. They have hundreds of reviews backing up their quality. For free design, estimate, and payments as low as $99 a month, call 866-661-OAKS or visit oaksroofingandsiding.com. I'm Nicole for 97.1, The Fan Traffic.
We did the math. Common Man has hosted over 5,000 shows on The Fan. Three of them have been halfway decent. Here's Man and Bone.
Teddy?
Don't even ask.
No. Same. Don't ask. It's all right. It doesn't have to be.
Tom Brady. I got a story here about Tom Brady and how, you know, when he was playing with the Patriots, there was a part of me that for a long time that couldn't stand the guy. Obviously, the Michigan stuff, all of that. But he became so great. And that's what usually what happens with me is that somebody becomes so great that even if I hated them, I start to respect them.
All right.
Because I respect the greatness.
Sure.
And when he shoved it up the Patriots' ass and won the title with Tampa Bay, I mean, that was quite the story.
Oh, yeah.
That was quite the deal. He's the greatest of all time.
Okay.
And when he retired, I recognized him as the greatest of all time. And dare I say, even kind of liked him. Now I hate his face again. So he's on this podcast, the Deep Cut podcast. He was asked by host Vic Blenz whether he would pick up the phone if a team called him in the event of an injury. He said, I'm not opposed to it. I don't know if they're going to let me because if I become an owner of an NFL team, but I'm always going to be in good shape. I'll always be able to throw the ball. So to come in for a little bit like MJ coming back, I don't know if they would let me, but I wouldn't be opposed to it.
Yeah, I would think they wouldn't let you if you're an owner of an NFL team. That would be a compromise. I would also think maybe the company that's paying you $300 million to be a broadcaster might also say, hang on just a second. Do you want to do this job at all? Like, when are you planning to actually be the broadcaster?
That's my problem, man. First of all, this guy's 46 years old. And you can go back and look at his last year all you want and try and justify that. He was on borrowed time then. He was not playing his best football. He's a year older since then. He had an entire season.
Yeah, he didn't play.
Where he didn't play. I don't care what type of shape you keep yourself in. You know, I said this about Aaron Rodgers when he got hurt last year in the first four plays. You give Dan Marino a clean pocket at 60, guess what? He can throw.
Right.
All right, if there's no threat, he doesn't have to move. He gets to step into a throw. He can read a defense. He can throw the ball. No problem there. There is more to football than that. If Tom Brady is flirting with a comeback this November, December, if there's an injury on a team, he will get destroyed and embarrassed. And at this point, I'd love to see it.
Yeah, well, he even had quotes where he said, you know, I'm never not going to be in shape, so that won't be an issue.
How do you know? Guess who else said that? Me.
Well,
I was wrong.
Well, but I'll be fair. Tom Brady, a bit more of a, you know, an athlete than you or I ever were. There's a very good chance he's going to stay in as good a shape as you can when you're not a pro athlete anymore, shape for the rest of his life. He probably is very dedicated. Seems like he's very driven to stay in shape. Great. That, to your point, is very different than being in football shape. That, to your point, even for a quarterback who's not, you know, you're not playing free safety. It's not about all that stuff. It's not about trying to hit people or being able to catch up to things. It's the fact that when you get hit the first time and you land on that turf and then you get back up and more of your body hurts than it ever has before, playing football, you might have some doubts about, can I take another one of those shots in this game? That's going to make you play different. That's going to make you not fully extend, not step into the throws. These are the things that I know he tells himself that won't be a problem. But yeah, it will be. Just like it was for Aaron Rodgers when he tried to move around the pocket and popped his Achilles. It's not because he didn't train or he wasn't in shape. It's because his Achilles is old.
By the time's undefeated, baby. Even for a guy like Tom Brady, he could think he's in the greatest shape of his life doing his little TB12 workouts. There's a difference between that and being in football shape. And it's insulting to everybody who plays football now. I'm sure Tom Brady, when he was banging, let's say Tom Brady at 34.
Yeah.
Right? In the height of Tom Brady land, he probably would take offense to someone coming in and being a short timer.
Of course.
Walking in the door in November, December, I'll put in half the work that everybody else is putting in. Tom Brady would pride himself on not eating a tomato.
Right.
Okay? He's so dedicated to the cause, so dedicated being great, studying film all the time. And now he's just going to walk right in. It is amazing how these guys are walking contradictions, because Tom Brady is so disciplined. He sets his mind to something. In his mind, he's probably saying, there's nothing I can't accomplish. As long as I work hard, I'm Tom Brady. I stay laser focused, and I'm going to be the best, and I'm going to win the championship. Tom Brady has that opportunity now in his post-playing career, whether it's I'm going to be the best husband and father, I'm going to be the best team owner, I'm going to be the best broadcaster Fox has ever seen. He hasn't even started that job yet. And already he's got a wandering eye looking towards the next thing. How is that a dedicated athlete?
You're exactly right. The idea that, well, I put in the work, I'm dedicated. Yeah, to the football stuff, but life works this way. And that is, once you get done with football, whether that was in junior high school or as a 46-year-old man, at some point you have to put in the dedication and the work to other applications in your life. And if you're not willing to do that, that doesn't tell me you've got this great dedication to just anything. It tells me you just really liked football.
I've been here a long time. I've seen a lot of ex-jocks walk through this door and think they can host radio shows. The reality is most of them can't, because they came in here and they had that part-time mentality. And then they wondered why their ratings sucked and nobody cared. They'd say to themselves, well, I caught a lot of footballs at Ohio State. Well, good for you. You got to put the work in here. You got to put that focus that you had on the football field. It's a different focus. I get it. But hone your craft. Well, be great here.
There's a minimum expectation, right? And then there is the going above and beyond type of thing. And at Ohio State, a lot, or at any big time college or pro football team, any professional team, you are expected to not just do the minimum, you're expected to go above and beyond. And I'm with you. I have been shocked. Not all of them. There's been quite a few guys who've surprised us and who've been very dedicated, and I presume that's a testament to exactly who they are as humans. But we've had a lot of, you know, former athletes that have come through these walls at some point or another who said, yeah, I'm going to show up. I'm not even going to do the bare minimum. I'm going to do less than the bare minimum.
Yeah.
Something that anybody else in this business would never be able to get away with. And that's disappointing. But it shows you that your dedication level has to be at the top for whatever you're trying to do. And if you don't do that, 99% of the time, it's not going to be good.
Well,
Tom Brady's getting $300 million, right? Did I make that number up?
No, you're right.
Okay, $300 million to be a broadcaster for NFL games, to be the number one guy on that network. And he's saying, yeah, but if an NFL team calls, I may have to listen to him. Are they going to pay you $300 million? Dude, the dream is over. It's done. You won everything you can win. You're a no-doubter for the Hall of Fame. You will be a unanimous pick for the Hall of Fame. But now is the different time. You could go be the number one broadcaster who's ever done it. You could be that guy, and instead he's choosing, no, but I still kind of want to do this other stuff.
This comparison to Michael Jordan coming back. First of all, I don't care what Michael Jordan says publicly or ever has said publicly. If Michael Jordan had one of those Men in Black mind eraser things, he would go back in time and make everybody forget that he played for the Wizards.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. I know that led him into NBA ownership and running a team and all that other crap. BS. There is no way he puts back on that uniform and plays for the Wizards if he knew how his career was going to end. The whole Michael coming back mid-season thing, too, how'd that work out for him?
Not good.
He was in shape, too, by the way, because he was playing professional baseball. He was in shape. He was younger than you. He came back with essentially the same team that he won titles with and couldn't get the job done. It was only then becoming obsessed again during the offseason and reinventing himself and dedicating himself to the game. Did he become Michael Jordan 2.0?
Right. I think it's laughable that Tom Brady thinks he could do that. And honestly, he reminds me of these guys you read about now, these dudes who have, I don't know, whatever company they've sold. They've become billionaires very young or multimillionaires who believe they're somehow going to game life, where they're like, yeah, I'm reversing my cell's age, actually.
Yeah, I'm going to live to be 300 years old.
Right. It's like, maybe you're going to die at 80. I'm not. I'm going to live to be 150 or 200. And it's like, stop. Just realize that at some point you should make the most of what you have and then appreciate it when it's over.
There is a reason why the egg salad is cheap at the Masters. I'm going to tell you why coming up next. Colin Mann and T-Bone on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza.
Watch for an accident on southbound 270's off-ramp to Main Street, and that's on the east outer belt. And you're going to hit some slow traffic on westbound 161 between Johnstown Road and Hamilton Road. This report is sponsored by Ohio 811. Call before you dig. Contact Ohio 811 at least 48 hours before you dig. It's easy to do, and it's the law. CenterPoint Energy, Columbia Gas, Duke Energy, and Enbridge Gas want you to dig safely. Contact Ohio 811 every time you dig. I'm Nicole for 97.1, The Fan Traction.
Does excessive amounts of Prozac make your sack droop down to your knees? Asking for a friend. My friend's name is Mike. Back to Droopy Sack and T-Bone.
Hey, Droopy Sack wants to talk to you about his friends at Tri-State Men's Health. Bone?
Yeah, man.
You know the symptoms of low testosterone, low T?
Tell them to me.
Decrease in libido. That's a complicated word for sex drive. Maybe putting on some weight, less productive at the gym, or not knowing where the gym even is. Poor sleep, wake up feeling tired, fall asleep after dinner. I usually do that with Uncle Bo, but that's because we've each had a bottle of rum.
Okay.
Maybe you're sad or depressed. These are all symptoms of low T. I want you to contact my friends at Tri-State Men's Health. The cost of the appointment is only $99. It includes a medical consult, T and PSA test. If you sign up for testosterone treatment the day of your appointment, your visit is free. Call them now, 800-900-9654, or visit TriStateMensHealth.com. Tell them Common Man sent you, and tell them Pee-Pee, no workie.
Sure.
You know, we all hear about the egg salad at the Masters, right? Oh, it's so cheap. It's $1.50. What a great deal. Maybe there's a reason why. And here it is. The Masters shop is expected to do around $70 million in merchandise sales this week. So that is $10 million per day, $1 million per hour, $16,000 per minute, and $277 per second that the store is open. That's how much Masters swag they are going to sell in this 7-day time period.
That is incredible.
So that's why the pimento cheese is $1.50.
And you know what? I should have, shame on me for not looking this up before the show. I'm going to throw this out here and see if either of you remember this stat, but I'm fairly confident that I'm right in this. The Masters, do they sell the TV rights to this? Isn't there some kind of weird deal where they don't actually make money on the TV coverage of this event? They've got it, like, I'm sure they're fine. They make lots of money however they make it. But I don't know.
I just told you how they made it.
Well, yeah, right, through the merchandise alone. But I feel like there's something out there about that with the Masters where they don't technically make a dollar off of the media rights for some reason. I forget what the actual reasoning is.
I'll take your word for it.
All right, I'll look it up in the break. I'll find it.
You know, you're a fan of the Ford Mustang Bone. You own one.
I do.
You love one.
Mm-hmm.
The first Ford Mustang, first ever Mustang, was unveiled at the New York's World Fair on April 17th, 1964.
Very good.
Okay. April 17th, 1964. However,
yeah,
one was actually sold 2 days before that.
Oh.
So I was reading this article today. So the Ford dealerships were under strict guidance. They had them,
mm-hmm,
but they were not for display.
Yeah.
They were not.
Keep them back.
The Mustangs were not to be unveiled until World's Fair Day, April 17th. And then they can put them on the showroom and then sell what they had.
Sure.
Right? So I'm reading an article today about this woman. She was 22 years old in the spring of 1964. Her name is Gail Wise. She was 22. She was starting a job as a teacher. She needed a car. Her family had always driven Fords.
All right.
So she goes with her father to the Ford dealership where he had purchased all his cars before. She had her heart set on a convertible, wanted a Ford convertible.
Nice.
Dad was going to pay for it, so nice there, too.
Even better.
Yeah. The guy who was selling cars was, knew the father and also could tell how upset she was because they had no convertibles on the lot to sell her.
Right.
They didn't have a convertible. She was very sad and upset. And so the guy wanted to make her feel better, maybe because he's just a sensitive guy, maybe because she was 22 and he wanted to get something out of the arrangement. I have no idea.
Who knows?
So he goes in the back and says, I think I have something that's going to make you happy.
Okay.
And then he let her see the Mustang.
Prior to its unveiling
now,
to the world.
Now, this is 2 days before. This is April 13th. I'm sorry, April 15th, because the unveiling was the 17th.
Okay.
So she sees it, and the guy says, you know, I'm not supposed to sell this to you. I can get in trouble. But I know you have your heart set on getting a Ford, and This is the top of the line.
Yeah, this is going to be the thing everybody wants.
So they take it. They buy it.
Wow.
The sticker price that they paid for the car, $3,447.50. Okay?
Now, I know back then that was still a lot of money. It's not quite probably what they would cost for a brand
here's
new
a comparison.
You know, sports car that no one's ever seen before.
The teaching job that she was just about to start the next day paid her $5,000 a year.
Okay.
So she paid $3,447.50. Her father
her
did.
Her dad did.
Her father loaned her the money.
Sure. All right. Well, that's good perspective on how much it cost, you know, based on what the salary was. That's a lot of money for her if she was buying it by herself.
So she then took it and drove it home.
Yeah.
She said people were stopping her. She was like a celebrity. She drove to the school the next day. All the boys were lining up to see this car.
Oh, I bet.
She was like a celebrity. No one had seen. They knew it was coming.
Yeah, but they'd never seen it.
But no one had seen it in the flesh before. She was the first one to have it. Anyway, I'm reading this story. 60 years later, she still has the car.
Oh, my goodness.
She never sold the car.
Oh, my goodness.
She still has the car. She has the sales receipt. It is in a frame that says first Mustang sold by Ford in the USA. Can you imagine what this car is worth.
Oh, I was going to say, she's sitting on millions of dollars. If she ever wants to sell that, it would probably be worth conservatively $2 million. For all the people who, it's not just about it being a Ford, for all the people who collect cars, I'm not talking car memorabilia, I'm saying the billionaires who have cars in their garage, Jay Leno would want this car, don't you think?
Absolutely.
All the people you can think of that you know of that are celebrities that like cars, they would want these cars. Jerry Seinfeld loves cars, right? All those guys would want them. And then there's, for every one celebrity you know that likes cars and has that money, there's 1,000 other rich dudes and rich ladies that don't, you never know, and they also collect them. They go to those auto auctions where they're selling these things. If that thing came across an auction block, I bet it goes well over $2 million.
So she's in her 80s now. Her and her husband, they've been married for 58 years.
Oh, good for them.
I don't know what the situation is with the children or the grandchildren, but I guarantee you something.
Oh, man.
Someone's selling that car.
You know what? If they have kids or grandkids, how many times do you think at Thanksgiving or whatever holidays they do celebrate, everybody gets together? It's like, so, Grandma, how's that car doing? You ever going to sell it? You know, like, I'll pay a pretty price for it. I bet they'd pay more than $3,000 for it in the family. But, yeah, that thing, that's a piece of automotive history.
I think if she starts choking at the table, they just look at her. They just run over. They're like, oh, no. Give me the Heimlich.
I forget.
The car.
Where are the keys? They're like reaching in her pocket. She's like, I'm not dead. Monty Python.
Yeah, I'm reading this article, though, and it says a pristine 1965 Mustang can sell for $50,000. And this one might be worth anywhere from 2 to 10 times that amount. Let me tell you something.
It ain't two.
Yeah. Get out of here.
Yeah, it's worth more than 10 times
that. This has been
that.
Fully restored, too, this car. It's not on blocks.
I mean, unless there's something about it we don't know, but it's an original. It's the original Mustang.
It's the first one.
Now, here's the difference. Here's the weird thing about cars. If it was VIN number 0001.
Yeah, no, it's not that.
It's not. But it is the first one that ever touched the U.S. soil and was driven by a consumer that had purchased it. That's a piece of automotive history. I would think it would still be worth quite a bit of money.
I would think so, too.
Wow.
Let's buy it.
No. I'm good with the one I've got where I just paid like a normal fee for it, and then I drive it and I enjoy it.
Joe Burrow wants to get all roided out. Details next. Common Man and T-Bone on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza.
Stop-and-go traffic is causing a 15-minute slowdown on eastbound 70 on the east side between James Road and 256, and watch out for an accident on the right shoulder of southbound 270 on the east outer belt after East Broad Street. This report is sponsored by Direct Auto. Direct Auto Insurance is for uncompromisers. With a super low down payment, you can stop compromising and keep driving. Get a free quote at directauto.com. Down payments vary, does not mean savings. How you buy can affect price. National General Group, Winston-Salem. I'm Nicole for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
If Biggie Size was a radio show, this would be it. This is Common Man and T-Bone.
Hey, it is Tool of the Week Friday. I want you to tweet us at Man and Bone 971. I want you to text the burner phone, 614-787-3093. And I want you to sext us.
Oh, yeah.
Send pictures of your feet.
There you go.
To Bone 6969.
Nope, don't do that.
Star.
Bone.
Message rates may apply.
Yeah. Star, baby, bone, 69, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So we were talking about this in the last segment, and Ted went and did some research, so I didn't have to. Thank you, Ted, for that.
And it's quick when it's golf stuff that Ted's interested
in,
isn't it?
He got right on, and I got a lot of info here. So I said in the last break, I couldn't remember, but I didn't think CBS has to pay anything for the rights to broadcast the Masters. And same for ESPN, who obviously is broadcasting it today. That's correct. Apparently, a lot of this info comes from Pat Summerall's autobiography in 2008 called Summerall On and Off the Air. CBS maintains the rights to the broadcast of the Masters as part of a year-to-year handshake agreement with Augusta National. Even though it could easily fetch over $100 million per year for the rights to broadcast the Masters, the Augusta folks much prefer the arrangement they have with their broadcast partners to be no cost added. And the reason is they are allowed to dictate some pretty strict terms to those broadcast partners because they're not charging them anything. They basically say, hey, CBS, you know how you love this deal where we don't charge you a lot of money and we don't make you have to pay out the nose to broadcast this and you get to be known as the home of the Masters and all that? Don't have as many commercials because we're not charging you for it. They also have, from time to time, gotten on to broadcasters who don't use preferred nomenclature when it comes to the people who are walking around the course. For example, back in the 60s, commentator Jack Whitaker made the mistake of referring to the crowd following golfer Billy Casper as a, quote, mob.
It's patrons.
He was banned from all future CBS broadcasts of the event for just saying, oh, there's a mob of people behind Billy Casper. Nope, done. And then in the 90s, 94, Gary McCord joked that the greens were so meticulously clipped and maintained that they appeared to have been, quote, bikini waxed.
Uh-oh.
And that was the end of his time on the broadcast. So they are very strict with what is allowed to be said. They are not allowed to bring up any, you know, the sponsorships on all the guys' hats. You're not allowed to talk about that on the broadcast. There's all these rules.
I see.
And that's why CBS and ESPN get this for free. Is they, Augustus says, you got the gift of having it for free. Now, don't do anything that crosses us or we'll take it off your network.
Mm-hmm.
So they get a lot of control over that.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
Very strict in years past about other things at Augusta National.
I've heard Augusta National.
Like the blacks and the Jews and the women and stuff like that.
Wouldn't let anybody in. Yeah, I do recall that also being very strict for them there.
Uh-huh. Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow is rehabbing from his injury. He says everything is going well. He caught up with Jeff Hobson from Bengals.com. And he said that he's been spending this offseason trying to get bigger and stronger. He says that's kind of a focus this offseason. We'll see where it goes. That'll kind of be determined as we get closer to training camp. See how I feel when talking about his weight. Now, Jeff Hobson says that he looks to be more than his customary 215 pounds.
Okay.
So he's
bulking up a little
bit. Look at him. He's on steroids.
Is he vascular or is he just larger?
He may be vascular. He says, I'm doing the rehab every day. That's always a part of it. As far as my off-season training, it really hasn't affected it too much. I've been able to pretty much do everything I normally do from a lifting and conditioning standpoint. I'm in a great spot body-wise. Something I have never said about myself out loud.
I'm in a great spot body-wise. That's good.
He says, I'm confident. I've put in all the work that I need to make sure I'm healthy. I'm continuing year to year to better hone and make that more efficient. Maybe listen to my body a little bit more throughout the season. Off-season, I'm sorry, and not push through things that maybe I have in the past. I'm just starting to learn my body more and more. That is what I said when I was 13 years old. Mom would knock on the door and say, come on down to dinner. What are you doing? You've been in there too long. Mom, I'm just trying to learn my body more and more.
You don't want to push
it
too far.
Now I'd like to forget it.
Yeah, no kidding. I think we've learned it well enough by this point. By the way, I hope that Joe Burrow does eventually just turn into like the Triple H of quarterbacks. I think that would be utterly hilarious if he showed up just with 260 rippling with muscle.
He starts tearing his quads right off the bone, too, because he's too muscular.
Right.
They can't hold together.
Right. I think the better way to go is kind of try to be in body appearance only, try to be more like Ben Roethlisberger, where you're just kind of, you know, a little rotund, but you stay upright, get hit, you can keep running through anything, just not get injured. He has had some injury issues, so maybe that's the way to go.
I wasn't here yesterday. I know you talked about it. I do want to express my deepest condolences for the guy who was good at playing football and murdering people who died yesterday.
Oh.
I'm sad that he didn't live long enough for someone to murder him.
Hmm.
But whatever.
I did see multiple people making a very good joke, which was that O.J. Simpson can now rest in peace, given that the murderer of his wife and Ron Goldman has been found and is dead.
I did see trending yesterday on Twitter was R.I.P. Juice. And there were some people who were talking about the complicated legacy and how we can celebrate the football player, but not much else. No, we don't have to celebrate any of it.
I don't believe the Bills or USC.
They didn't. They didn't acknowledge it at all.
Anything saying, oh, RIP to former running back.
By the way, good call.
Right.
Good call.
Listen, we can all look at what someone did on the field and acknowledge at a time that mattered, that was good. And you can look at things that you saw in the media that you enjoyed when that guy was acting in movies. And then you can look at everything else after that and say, eh.
Look, man, there's a lot of pieces of crap. We talk about Kurt Schilling on this show. Not our guy.
Not our guy.
Right?
No.
I think Kurt Schilling's a piece of crap. Kurt Schilling, to the best of my knowledge, has not murdered two people in cold blood. Right. So if the Red Sox want to keep inviting him back for things, whatever.
Sure.
Okay, I'm not judging people on their personal character unless you're a murderer. Then it's perfectly acceptable.
What we know for sure is O.J. Simpson was found financially liable for the deaths of two people.
I don't care. You can skate around it all you want. He killed those people, and he got away with it. That's all I need to know. If his estate wants to sue me, or if Theo Huxtable, who played AC in the movie, wants to sue me, that's fine.
You think he's doing that? You think he's suing Theo Huxtable? Not his real name. What's
Malcolm Jamal Warner?
Yeah. I don't think he's really... He just like... I was just in the movie. I don't know, David Schwimmer also mad? I don't think so. Like, yeah. John Travolta? Or was that... No, it wasn't Travolta.
Who was in it?
Who else was in it that was weird? Someone looked really weird. Was it?
Maybe it was Travolta.
Who the hell was in the movie that everyone talked about how... Oh, now I got to look up the... What was it?
Because he played... what's his name? The attorney. Was it Travolta?
I think it was. It he didn't play F. Lee Bailey.
No.
Who did he? People versus O.J. I got to find all the actors because I feel like,
is it Mark Shapiro? Is it not? He's the former Indians general manager.
I know you're talking.
You know who I'm talking about?
I do,
Robert Shapiro.
Yeah, John Travolta was in that.
John Travolta was in it. Robert Shapiro.
That's right. Okay. Yeah, that was I watched that whole thing and
I did too. I couldn't. It was good TV.
You got to find character actors for that type of thing. You can't give me stars.
David Schwimmer was in that too.
Yes, that's what I can't look at who, because who was he? He was Kardashian, right?
Kardashian, yes.
Yeah, I can't be looking at like OJ's confidant and being like, pivot. Like, I can't do that. I already know that guy from something else. Don't put him in that movie.
Nathan Lane also.
Was he F. Lee Bailey?
Yes.
Yeah, he was F. Lee Bailey.
Nathan Lane was F. Lee Bailey? Yeah. I missed that completely. I didn't realize that.
Who was Lance Ito? Nobody?
Oh, yeah, Judge
Kenneth Choi.
I don't know. We talked about this yesterday, but I'll remind you, Colin, Matty Hayes, no recollection of that trial.
I'm sure they don't, man.
I'm sure they don't. I'm feeling very old remembering this, but Judge Lance Ito, that's a name I'll never forget.
Rich people don't value the undercarriage. Details next. That's a hell of a tease. Common Man and T-Bone on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza.
There's some slow traffic causing a 5-minute delay if you're on westbound 670 between 71 and 315. And be aware of an accident on the right shoulder of southbound 71 on the north side at North Broadway. This report is sponsored by Allstate. You're in good hands. Some people just know the best rate for you is a rate based on you with Allstate, not one based on anyone else. So if you drive safely, you could save money. Good to know. Visit Allstate.com or call for a quote today. I'm Nicole for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
The only thing scarier than Bones analogies is man's browser history.
I'm sorry, man. I thought you want to see this.
This is Common Man and T-Bone.
You know what today is?
What's today?
Tool of the Week Friday. Send in your Twitter tools at Man and Bone 971. Your chance to win fabulous prizes. Also, text the burner phone if you choose. 614-787-3093.
Mike, I saw a story that usually, I wouldn't bring to your attention, but it had a quote in it that I could not avoid seeing this and then not thinking about it and bringing it up on the show.
Okay, let's go.
We're big on the show. We talk about ice fishing all the time. Mm-hmm. I know how much you love it. There's two things I know you love. It's the outdoors and it's natural bodies of water.
Love them.
And then on top of all that, you love fishing.
I love baiting a hook.
Right. All right. So here's the story. Because apparently there was a big deal. A man from Salt Lake City, Utah, is a silver medalist now in the world of ice fishing. Joe Martinez is on the U.S. ice fishing team. Didn't know we had one. Glad we do.
Let him live.
He just clinched second place at the World Championships in Mongolia.
Okay.
Which is the first time, apparently, that an American has won a medal in the competition in an ice fishing competition that was not on U.S. lakes, on U.S. ice, okay. I guess. So this is kind of a big deal. He has apparently become such a phenomenon in the fishing world in Utah that state, not known for its frozen lakes, it is now becoming a thing where people want to like go and get into ice fishing and they're taking trips.
Just because of
him. Because of him.
Wow.
Yeah. So he's growing the game, growing the sport.
All right.
But I had to laugh when I saw this quote because, you know, he's talking about how much preparation goes into this thing and how to be a really good ice fisher, you got to move around a lot, which I'm sure is all true. But here's the quote. It's a lot more than sitting on a bucket, fishing, and drinking a beer. It's nonstop action. I mean, it is that, isn't it? Like, it's, I don't know if you're drinking beer during the competition, but.
Look, what he's trying to say is it's more than meets the eye.
Yeah.
Right? It's very difficult.
I'm sure it is.
There's a lot of skill and nuance. I'm not here to say that there's not. I'm sure there is. Calling ice fishing nonstop action? Get the hell out of here.
Yes, I want to be clear. I'm laughing at this in the way that I would laugh at an like elite marathon runner when they go, you know what? After mile 18, it actually got a little easier for me. It's like, no, it didn't. It sucked. It sucks to do that activity. You might be very good at it. You might have a way of compartmentalizing it, but it sucks to run 26 miles would be my guess. And I'm guessing that with ice fishing, no matter how busy you are,
there's more to it.
It's not nonstop action.
Nonstop action.
There's got to be a stop somewhere where you're like, well, I'm going to sit here for a minute and wait and see if a fish eats this lure. That's a stop. That's not a nonstop.
It's officially been announced that the Eagles will play the Packers in Brazil Friday, September 6th. So the season opens on a Thursday. Next day, Friday night football in Brazil. The Packers, though, do have a travel concern.
Oh, they're getting hosed. Getting screwed.
You know what it is?
Yeah.
All right, so the Packers do not have a runway long enough in Green Bay to have a plane big enough to fly nonstop to Brazil.
Right, because so, it's like a 5,000-mile journey, and for that, you need a plane that's got a large enough fuel capacity, which apparently in Green Bay or in the surrounding area, they do not have a runway for.
A runway for, yes. Yeah. They have one in Milwaukee.
All right.
They're going to have to put the entire bus or a team on a bus, yeah, go to Milwaukee, drive 2 hours, and then fly out of Milwaukee, or they'll have to connect someplace in mm-hmm. the air on their way to Brazil.
Yeah. Are you looking for me to have sympathy for this team?
No, there's no sympathy whatsoever. Good. I'm just saying, I'm stating facts here, Bone.
Well, you
That's
know what?
All I'm saying.
There's a lot. Is there not a lot of romanticism and charm around the Green Bay Packers, Lambeau Field, the fact that that city has 100,000 people and yet it has an NFL franchise?
Absolutely.
Right. Do they not make a lot of hay with the fact that they are this plucky little franchise that could, that despite all these other teams have billionaire owners,
they make
they're
hay.
Owned by the team.
You know what it is, Bone?
By the fans.
Nonstop action.
Nonstop action. I'm just saying, if you like all the perks of selling the fact that you're the Green Bay Packers and you're the only ones that do it differently and all that stuff, this is one of the few drawbacks to that is if you ever have to play a game in Brazil, you'll either have to drive in a ride in a bus 2 hours is not a bad thing. Is it? Like, are NFL players, they're not going to have them like on a school bus. They're going to be on luxury chartered accommodations.
It will be on a school bus.
No, they're going to be on the nicest buses that man can make
they're
or
gonna
afford.
They're going to be handing out Ecto coolers, and there's going to be some chaperones on the trip to make sure everybody minds their P's and Q's.
All right. I'm just saying, the way that this was talked about by, who's their GM again? I forget his name. It's, is it Matt?
Mark Murphy.
Mark Murphy. Is that team he's president? Like, whatever
like,
he is.
If there's no owner specifically.
Yes, yes.
He's the owner.
He's the guy who runs the team at the will of the board, all that
yes.
stuff.
Mark Maron was also there passing out Kush.
Yeah. He was saying like, oh man, we just don't know. We got to figure this out because we don't have a lot of good options right here. And it's like, you're talking about putting pro athletes on a bus for 2 hours and then putting on them a flight for 10 hours. I think they'll live. It's not. Also, you're going to Brazil. Do the players ever take trips when they're not working, when they're not playing football? That involves some travel, like to say Hawaii or, I don't know, other places that are further than Hawaii. Then they probably too have flown on a plane for 10 hours. Not saying it's ideal. It's also what the NFL wants to do. You're getting paid a lot for it. They'll manage.
I found this comical. So LeBron's 2024 All-Star Game worn jersey was up for auction last night on Sotheby's. Okay?
Sure.
Noted auction house. Teddy's a big shopper there.
Who doesn't shop at Sotheby's?
Sotheby's.
Is it Souther? Who cares?
Sotheby's, isn't
Whatever.
It?
I don't know. I don't know what it is.
There's no R in it.
There's not. I think you're right.
Sotheby's. All right, anyway. So the jersey.
Yeah, for the All-Star game.
Minus the shorts.
Yes.
Okay, the jersey sold for $139,700 last night.
Sure.
This is LeBron's 2024 All-Star jersey. The shorts from the same jersey that he wore in the game were also up for auction last night.
Right.
I just told you the jersey sold for $140,000. Let's call it that.
Yeah.
The shorts sold for $3,810.
Oh, yeah, much less than what the jersey sold for.
Why don't rich people value? I mean, it's game worn. It's LeBron. As a matter of fact, if you're talking about intimacy,
well,
you want to get as close to LeBron as humanly possible. I mean, his sweaty balls are just all over that DNA.
I have a theory on this as to why the shorts don't do as well as the jersey.
Why?
Well, number one, there's a name and a number on a jersey. You don't have a name and a number on the shorts. That's the main reason I genuinely think.
You don't think on the inside of the shorts is not like a made specifically for LeBron?
But you're not folding this up and throwing it in a drawer. You're going to display it. If you get LeBron's jersey, you're going to get it put in a frame and have it up on the wall.
I'd put it in a hollow frame. No glass. Scratch and sniff.
Okay.
You say, I don't want this washed. I don't want it washed at all.
Right.
You invite your friends over and say, hey, man.
I'm telling you, I think there's something to the fact that because it doesn't have a name and number on the back of it, that's less attractive. If you can say, like, those are LeBron shorts. It's like, dude, you got somebody's basketball shorts mounted up in your living room? That's weird. But if it was LeBron's jersey, it's like you instantly can tell that's a jersey.
Look, I can see it going for $50,000 and the other one going for $140,000, but $3,800, you and I should have bought it.
All right.
Just have it up here.
Let me ask you a question. I'll actually ask the room here because Timmy has wandered in. Ted is here. Tim, common man, Teddy, have any of you ever bought officially licensed jersey of your favorite team? I'm not talking an official. I'm saying, you know, like a replica, an official, just a jersey that you could wear, that you could enjoy. Have you ever bought something like that?
Yes, yeah. Of course.
All right.
I have not.
Okay, Teddy, you have not. I have bought jerseys. The three of us have bought jerseys. Okay.
In your whole life, Teddy, you never owned a jersey? Your whole life.
Not even as a kid?
No, the only, trying to think. I mean, I got a couple Blue Jackets jerseys, but those were given to me.
Okay. Well, that's all right.
Well, but you've been nice such a celebrity to have jerseys just given to
back
you.
Back when I was banging.
Like people bringing tracksuits right into the studio.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever purchased shorts of your favorite team?
Yes.
How many times have you done that compared to a jersey?
I just bought some on Mitchell and Ness.
You bought the shorts?
Yeah.
How many? But compared to the jerseys you've had.
The game shorts?
Yeah.
How many have you bought compared to the jersey?
No, not as many. They're shorts.
No, not as many. But you know what? They weren't readily available either. If I walked into Dick's back in the day and it was a complete package, and I could buy the jersey and the shorts together, I think I'd make that purchase.
They got a name
complete
for that.
Package.
The English soccer fans have a term for that. Full kit wanker.
Then I would be a full kit wanker.
That's wanker.
Wanka, full kit wanka, who's a loser, basically. Why are you wearing the whole jersey? The whole thing. The jersey, I feel like, is way more acceptable than the shorts.
Well,
and I think
what?
That's why people don't buy them.
We're going to bring the shorts back, right, Timmy?
I think you can. I think Ryan Baker would be down for that, too.
Absolutely.
And all you have to do, so you don't look like full kit wanka, is you can just wear the game shorts with a nice solid tee. That's all you have to do.
That's fair.
Then you could have a decent look. They are putting some quality behind some of these shorts now.
Absolutely.
They're $100 to $120.
These are not
cheap
items.
They are thick. They are embroidered. They've got a nice, thick, staunch, girthy waistband.
Mm-hmm.
Padded waistband. Feels good to wear them.
Yeah. Oh, they're beautiful.
I've never heard someone talk more passionately about the way fabric is made than Timmy Hall. In my life ever.
And I appreciate that about you, Timmy.
You got to appreciate a good garment.
It's not just the fabric, too. It's the weave.
Yeah,
you can have all the good fabric you want. If you don't know how to loom and weave it,
cotton's not a Pima cotton, I don't want to see it.
Maybe a Supra?
I knew a guy who had one of those in high school. Toyota Supra,
solid car.
Yeah.
I do. I appreciate the way that Homage is making their t-shirts now. They did something somewhere, I don't know how many years back, but the nylon, poly, blend.
Want to know why you like that?
Soft and silky.
And sometimes it's almost too soft, but you don't have the huge man breasts. And sometimes when you have the thicker cloth. The soft tends to hug and accentuate the bosom line, where I feel like I have to wear another shirt underneath it.
No, that is about the cut. You're talking about the cut of the shirt.
No,
and if you
I
have
don't
a classic fit.
No, I'm not talking about
Timmy,
that.
You're good. Timmy, you're not fat. This is now your, this is, it's okay.
I'm getting
now your discussion.
I'm getting there.
I'll help
stop.
You. Actually, you know what?
I hate your face. Go have some more goldfish out there.
Let me tell you, I just found something, Mike.
I got to go.
I know. I think we could do a Fat Boy food tip.
Another
part
one?
Two today.
Another
if you want.
One.
I think we
oh
could.
Oh, my God.
Something has just come to my attention that we have to discuss.
All right. Breaking news coming up next. And we'll talk more about pepperoni nipples. Common Man and T-Bone on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza.
There's some stop-and-go traffic causing a small delay on eastbound 70 on the west side between Mound Street and 315, and you can expect a five-minute slowdown on westbound 670 between Leonard Avenue and 3rd Street. This report is sponsored by Ohio 811. Call before you dig. Contact Ohio 811 at least 48 hours before you dig. It's easy to do, and it's the law. CenterPoint Energy, Columbia Gas, Duke Energy, and Enbridge Gas want you to dig safely. Contact Ohio 811. Every time you dig. I'm Nicole for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
Dumb is the only language these two are fluent in. You're listening to Man and Bone.
Bone and I do all our banging.
All of it.
At Hollywood Casino Columbus and their 12,000 square foot sports book. You know, Bone?
Yeah?
It's going to be a lot of action this weekend. A
lot of nonstop action?
Well,
a little
yes,
ice fishing?
Maybe you put some money on the ice fishing? Maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know if you can or not, but maybe.
I don't know if you can.
But we're going to have baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Hockey season's wrapping up.
Sure thing.
NBA season coming down to the wire. And Ted's favorite thing, spring football.
Oh, yeah.
The Kool-Aid man now?
Yes. Never mind.
Oh, yeah.
There's a little four-letter word that everybody's going to be tuning into this weekend called golf.
I forgot about the golf.
You
yes,
got golf
of course.
Too.
There's
I'm just
golf.
Saying.
There's action. There's nonstop action, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And the only place to appreciate it, live up to its full potential, is the sports book at Hollywood Casino Columbus. Go there now or this weekend or whenever you want. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Mike, I know we don't do this often, but I feel like I found some news just in the last couple of minutes, thanks to one of our listeners, Urban's Little Meyer, sent this to me. I don't know how this slipped my radar, but it might be time for Fat Boy Food Tip Part 2.
Common Man and T-Bone have very little value, unless they're telling you about all the crap they can shove in your mouth so you can die quicker. It's time for Fat Boy Food Tip. Wait, how do you want me to say it? Tip? 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 This is dumb. I quit.
All right, so you know I love me some Baja Blast from Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
It's my favorite beverage that is made. I go for the zero because I'm trying to, you know, not drink all my calories. I'm eating way more than I ever should. But I'll be eating some more today because apparently Doritos, in partnership with Mountain Dew, in honor of the 20th anniversary of the Baja Blast, they are putting out Doritos Baja Fiery Mango chips. They
I'm
are
not usually a fan of the sweet, but this intrigues me.
Well, I do like a mango salsa, but it's got to be the right proportion. You don't want to have too much sweet. I'm with you. However, it's Baja Blast inspired flavors. Now, Baja Blast, if you don't know, was created for Taco Bell, and the marketing for it says they engineered it to fit in with the tastes of Taco Bell.
Mm-hmm.
It's meant to complement the spices in that food. So I don't know how these chips will do as far as complementing the drink, but I would presume they put some thought into that. I'd be very curious to try these. The initial report on this is that they are going to be in Walmart now, and then in a few weeks they'll roll out everywhere. But if you've seen these, if you've tried them, I'd love to know. I will be on the hunt this weekend for some of these chips, and hopefully I'll report back on Monday, let you know how they are.
I'll tell you what, I'm not kidding around. I just looked out the window here, mm-hmm. the studio window, and I saw a juicy backside. And I said to myself, who is that? And then I said, oh, it's Tyvus. Tyvus is here. Tyvus Powell, ladies and gentlemen.
Did he just press his buttocks up against
glass? He walked past.
Oh, okay.
But he's wearing sweats, and there was quite the jiggle.
Okay. Oh,
because you've done that to me before.
I mean, it's not a Megan Thee Stallion jiggle, but
sure.
Mm.
That's Well, no, nothing is, buddy. Nothing is. I got to tell you.
Megan D. Stallion.
The.
Tyvus is yacht. Something. Yes, he does.
I like that you're up on the. Well, of course you are, because you have like a son who's right there in the Gyat universe.
I know all about it. You have Gyat to be kidding me.
You know, I actually wanted to ask you about that because you got the boy who is 13 or 12.
He's going to be 13.
Going to be 13.
October 1st, yeah.
You got him his own computer.
I did.
Right? Yeah. This is a laptop. You even said to me, you're not going to put any passwords on this, no protection, no nothing, right? There's Tyvus. Tyvus, did you hear me complimenting your ace out there?
He said that he complimented your ace.
My ace?
Put the headphones. Give him the headphones.
What do you mean by that?
Give him the headphones. I want to talk to him. Tyvus. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Listen to me. So I'm looking out the little studio door window here.
Okay.
And I see a nice, plump, juicy double walk past the window. In sweats, and I'm like, who is that? And then I realized it was you. It was you, Tyvus.
No, but
you've done work on that.
No,
you're trying now.
You know what the sick thing is?
What?
That I'm actually, once I lose this 20 pounds.
You're not going
to
lose it.
See, that's the thing. I talked to a friend of mine who's seen me when I was like in high school to now, and I was like, yeah, I've gained like 30 pounds. He was like, it goes to your stomach. In your rear end.
Uh-huh.
So I have to lose all that.
Can I tell you something? You're not going to.
I am.
What? How? What are you
going
to do?
I'm going on a liquid diet.
Oh, now it's liquid. Because before it was, I'm giving up all bread.
Yeah, no. If you go on the liquid diet, don't eat nothing solid. Now, when you go to the bathroom, it's going to be bad. But you won't be able, your body won't have nothing
store. You're not going
to
eat with the rest of the family? Your wife has food for you and your daughters are there? And you're going to say, no, I'm sorry, I'm just going to have some liquids?
That's correct.
I don't believe it.
Smoothies.
Oh, so you're going smoothie route. Smoothies. I didn't know, are milkshakes allowed? Because that would be,
that would just completely defeat the purpose.
That's, Tyvus, how do you think I got this way? It wasn't by sticking to the plan.
Well,
it was by always finding a way to bend the rules on whatever diet I was on. If it was keto, it's like, hey, you know what? Stick of butter, keto.
But I think you should embrace this aspect of your body.
No.
You could be the Megan the Stallion of Ohio State football players.
Why would I want that?
Why wouldn't you want that?
No.
Who else? You can corner the market. Who else is doing that?
I'll gladly leave that to somebody
else. Go.
I want to be skinny. When I was a kid, I've been skinny my entire life. I don't want to change it in my 30s.
Why not?
Well, I mean, skinny, but relatively speaking, you played football.
Yeah, you weren't like a skinny man.
I was still slim.
Slim, but you put on muscle, right?
Do you know at Ohio State and throughout my NFL career, you know how much my body fat was? 3%.
3%. That's how much my muscle mass is right now.
3%.
3%.
Am I wrong, Tyvus? Like, people will say, oh, that guy had 0% body fat. It's like, that's not possible.
I don't think 3%
is like the lowest you can get.
Yeah, about
okay.
that. 3%.
All right. Yeah. So you were at the like barely healthy.
Now
the least you can have and still be functional as a human.
Now I can actually grab a piece of fat. It's not good. Mm-hmm.
But you know what, Tyvus? I watched that Tyvus. I didn't know that Tyvus, but I watched him.
Yeah.
This Tyvus that I know, much happier.
Nope.
I think you're much. Yes, nope. I think you're much happier now.
Nope. Mm-mm.
Just nope. Not at all.
It's a different kind of happy.
All right. There you go. That's right.
Tool of the week is coming up next. Common Man and T-Bone on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza.
There's some slower traffic on southbound 71 on the north side between Weber Road and 11th Avenue and a couple minute delay on eastbound 33 between 270 Southeast and Ebright Road. This report is sponsored by COSI, Center of Science and Industry. Transport yourself back in time and explore the fascinating and harrowing story of the Titanic's maiden voyage. Don't miss Titanic, the artifact exhibition now open at COSI, featuring over 200 authentic artifacts, room recreations, and more. Tickets on sale now. Book your voyage at COSI.org. I'm Nicole for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
Common Man and T-Bone present Tool of the Week.
Sponsored by Metal Supermarkets. Visit metalsupermarkets.com/Columbus for all your metal needs.
The best tool, according to us, gets a $50 gift card to The Walrus. The Walrus, your downtown home for sports with 24 mega TVs from the burner phone.
Okay.
This is from Hang On Droopy. He says, my guys.
Yeah, they definitely are monitoring his load.
My tool of the week is a young Mike Rigardotti.
Okay.
Who once wrote a letter that set off a series of events ending with him, with me thinking, maybe I should try one of these Wendy's spicy chicken sandwiches. Like T-Bone, I will remember eating my first one, but I will also remember where I was an hour later in the work bathroom with a burning hole.
Really? Okay.
It's not that spicy.
Well, you know what? Everybody's different. What's spicy you right. may not be spicy the next person over.
All right, fine.
Yeah.
Tool of the week, all loser Blue Jacket fans that are okay with mediocrity. What's mediocrity? I'd take it. I'm sick and tired of reading Twitter with people defending Johnny G and people yelling at you guys that you don't watch games. If you had somebody that could finish, he'd have more points. I'm sorry, he has 11 effing goals. Even Rick Nash scored on a bad team. Demand better.
Well, that's the thing. Why couldn't he be the one who finishes? Since no one else apparently...
No, he's just a facilitator.
It's not that no one else
Unless
can.
He's in Calgary, he's scoring 35 goals.
Yeah. Well, he had a much better team there is what everybody would say, which is true. But that tells you something about the player, doesn't it?
Good. I'm glad he's become Cam Atkinson now. That's what you thought you were signing, Cam Atkinson.
Yeah, exactly right.
My tool of the week is the Subaru driving east on 270 in the left lane, brake checking people while going 55 miles an hour, then speeding up so she can't get past GTH.
What is with people? Like, I get it. If you don't like people riding your bumper, that's frustrating. Let them go around you, though. Then they're out of your hair, and then you can just keep cruising in the slow lane, I guess.
Glenn says, tool of the week is Ian Eagle. Ian goofed on Bill Rafferty in a mean way, indicating that nobody understands what Bill is saying. Ian, shut up and go call a Browns game. Raftery is a treasure, and Grant Hill should have took it to the hole, big fella, with a punch to Ian's mush.
I didn't realize that happened. I guess I missed it. I didn't hear that little snafu. However, is it Ian Eagle that was the one that had the gobbledygook thing with Mike Fratello?
Yes, that's
okay.
That's right.
So that
he says he was just kidding, though.
Right? Maybe sometimes his humor doesn't land. Is what I'm trying to say.
Crocodile says, my full kit wankers.
Chubby time!
There we go.
My tool of the week are the people who still have their Christmas decorations on display in April. This is beyond jail time. It's execution time.
That's a fair point.
I guess in his neighborhood, he's got it.
We're talking about Christmas decorations, you said, in April?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Wow. Okay.
Tool of the week is Orenthal James Simpson.
All right.
Was glad to hear he finally choked on his cancer, but dying in bed at 76 was far too good for him. Should have been much, much worse and much sooner. Tool of the week runner-up is Karma, because I feel like Karma kind of really dropped the ball with OJ. Well, I mean, we don't know exactly where he is now.
Right, that's fair.
You know, I don't know what you believe, but perhaps someone was greeting him with a sickle? I don't know.
Is that, yeah, I'd like to see that. Maybe there's a sickle and then a pitchfork. And then who knows what else. Matches says, my guys.
Could use a little love right now. There they are working those balls.
I nominate myself for Tool of the Week because I filled in my coworker's paper bracket incorrectly in our tournament pools and cost her winning first place and $600.
Oh, no.
Oh, so you misunderstood the assignment. You put the wrong names in. Hashtag tool of the week, hashtag March Madness. All right. Well, sorry about that to your coworker. You're right. You are a tool. That sucks. Paulie Two Shirt says, my tantric lovemakers.
They got their hands on a lot of balls.
My tool of the week is my kid's doctor's office. Front entrance was closed. They had a sign that fell down. So I went over to read the sign, and my son and I were attacked by a goose. I'm guessing the sign said, don't enter, see whole goose around.
I hate geese.
WTH,
man.
Ridiculous.
Hate them. They can all die.
Yeah, I'm not a huge
they
fan of the
hang
geese.
Hang out with OJ. Dead.
Let me just say this about the geese as an animal. I'm fine if you're laying your eggs over in the you know, anywhere where there's like a body of water, I get it. But if you're in the middle of a parking lot, like a Target, and you just picked a parking spot
they know
to
what
lay
they're
your
doing.
Eggs, you're stupid.
They're just trying to be a-holes.
No, but this is what evolution is. It's like you're dumb. You're like, I feel like that's our evolutionary responsibility to walk up to that goose and
I think
the
so
crap
too.
Out of there. Yeah.
If one of them's dumb enough to wander down Route 23 in rush hour.
You don't want their offspring happening, right?
You don't need Markowitz in a seersucker suit trying to pick up the dead goose and stop in traffic.
Our former boss stopped traffic on, was it 23 or
23.
Sawmill?
It was 23, rush hour, which, by the way, if you've ever been on that, you just want to kill yourself anyway. There was a wounded goose in the middle of the road, and he's got this white suit on.
Oh, no.
And he's gotten out of the car, stopped traffic to pick up this bleeding goose.
The goose is like, just let me die, man.
Yes.
Are you kidding?
He also ruined his suit. He ruined everybody's day.
Yeah.
Because he's holding up traffic.
Yeah.
And he ruined his suit.
Listen, I love animals. I don't love animals that don't know how to, like, survive. We have buildings and cars now. You got to learn how to figure that out. I have way more respect for a pigeon than I do for a goose. Pigeons at least know how to live. They're making it happen. The goose are the ones always getting effed up on the freeway or always flying into, like, places they don't belong. Stupid. Urban's Little Meyer says, my guys.
So many of those balls pop out.
I forgot about Collinsworth. Man, my tool of the week is a guy I met this week for work who said he hated Ohio State. Thought he was a Michigan fan, but said he was an Arizona State fan. When I asked, why do you hate Ohio State? He said he went to high school with Joe Germain in Arizona, and Germain stopped Arizona State from going to the Natty. He's had a grudge ever since. But yeah, I would think you hate Ohio State for that, like, not just because of Joe Germain, but because of that whole team doing that to you, right? That was the Rose Bowl that year.
I don't see eye to eye with anyone who hates Joe Germain.
No, of course
Joe
not.
Germain
I'm saying
is my guy. I will defend him till the if he were bleeding on 23, I would pick him up and help him to safety.
There you go. Dustin says, my Solana Papadias. Tool of the week goes to whoever let the actor playing Ray's dad John in Field of Dreams remove the catcher's helmet during the game. How did Ray not recognize him there? Kind of an error, no? Great movie, though. I also tear up in the last 10 minutes.
Well, there's tear up, and then there's blubbering mess.
Mm.
Those are two different things.
Yeah.
Like Finding Nemo, tear up.
Yes, that's right.
Last 5 minutes of Field of Dreams.
Yeah, it's... I'm really bad when I try to catch the cry where I'm like...
Oh, you can't. And then, you feel that lump in your throat.
Yes,
oh, my God.
Yeah, then it's just even worse, yeah. Fartbot 6000 says, my tool of the week is O.J. Simpson for outliving Norm MacDonald. Good point.
No kidding.
Yeah. That's... boy, that makes me sad about Norm.
No one gave O.J. a harder time.
That's why he got fired, right?
Norm MacDonald. That's right.
Norm got fired for making jokes on SNL.
Was it Bob Olmeyer? Is that who was the president of NBC?
Somebody Olmeyer, yeah.
He was an
Don
OJ
Olmeyer?
Guy.
I don't
Maybe
know.
It was Dom. Don.
Whatever.
Hey,
somebody,
I didn't do anything.
Somebody Olmeyer was the guy who ran all of that and basically said, I can't have a... He was friends with OJ. They were like good buddies. And he said, I'm not going to tolerate that. I'll never forget. Go look it up. Norm MacDonald going on Letterman right after he got fired. Quite the thing, because Letterman also no likey the Olmeyer guy. I'm quite sure they were not fans. Bob says, my tool of the week is the most of the sports reporters in Columbus for not mentioning the U.S. women's national team at the LDC winning the She Believes Cup and never talking about the Columbus Eagles ever, the women's soccer team. All right, fair points. The women did win the She Believes Cup, for whatever that's worth. Gary says, Johnny Cochran. That's all he says. So Johnny Cochran is his tool of the week. I think he died before everybody, right? He's been dead for a while, if I'm not mistaken.
Pick a winner.
You know what? I'm going to give it to Matches, the guy who put the wrong name on the bracket for the woman that he worked with, because you cost her $600, so give her the gift card, I guess, at least.
That's right. That's
well,
the same thing.
What's the gift card again?
$50 gift card to the Walrus.
Okay, good. I was going to say, no offense to them. If it was the Lions, then maybe don't give that to your female coworker right off the bat.
Why?
As,
what's
an icebreaker. You know, like, hey, here you go. Thought you might enjoy this.
Nine. You no, missed it's the Walrus.
Yesterday, we had a name that hole where a friend of a woman came up to her and just gave her lingerie. And she was not expecting that. They were not romantic in any way. And he was very mad that she found that to be weird. And I think
what is he, an idiot?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's you're a hole. Don't you're
Maybe
not
can't do that.
Yeah, exactly. We said the guy was a seahole.
You have to be intimate. You have to.
Yes, that's not like if I bought you underwear, Mike.
No,
that'd be like that
be
would just
weird.
Be weird. We've been friends for a long time. I wouldn't buy you underwear. It's bizarre.
All right. Back page coming up. Common Man and T-Bone on the Fan.
Fan traffic
sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza.
You're looking at a couple minutes slowdown if you're on eastbound 70 on the east side between Livingston Avenue and 33. And there's some slower traffic on eastbound 270 on the north outer belt between 315 and 71. This report is sponsored by Ohio 811. Call before you dig. Contact Ohio 811 at least 48 hours before you dig. It's easy to do, and it's the law. CenterPoint Energy, Columbia Gas, Duke Energy, and Enbridge Gas want you to dig safely. Contact Ohio 811 every time you dig. I'm Nicole for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
Buckeye Show coming up at the top of the hour. The fine host of the Buckeye Show, your friend and mine, Timmy Paul.
Oh, my guys.
He is in full Hungarian tracksuit today.
Yes.
I love it.
Look yes, I am. I have now started to mix up the Hungarian tracksuit because, as people might know, it started with the pearl white with the hints of red and green.
Mm-hmm.
Hungarian track jacket.
Like I say, as people may know.
No,
yes,
know.
I'm sure they have just files like, of.
Well, you know, Timmy's got his white track jacket and his green one.
Timmy wore right, green and green. Okay, today it's okay. White and green.
Okay. You think that people that listen to your show don't know about the Hungarian tracksuit
yet?
They
know, but they probably don't know about the color scheme.
That's why I was going to tell them the little story
all right,
about
go
it.
Ahead. Go ahead.
Then you had to make fun of
go
me.
Go ahead.
That's right.
So my parents brought this back from Hungary 10 or 12 years ago. I thought it was ridiculous. I never wore it. But thank goodness I didn't just goodwill it like I do with everything else
but
they give me.
Now you've grown into your ridiculousness.
Now it was sitting there for so long, it became funny. So we started to wear this thing. And then we found out about the, UK Soccer Shop website. Mm-hmm. You've bought a bunch of tracksuits. I bought that crazy-looking all-green Hungarian tracksuit. So I'm actually wearing the white top with the green pants.
I like the mix and match.
Yeah, mix and match.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. If I had white pants, I'd wear it with the green top. But I don't.
Is that all?
That's it.
All right. I see you have a little bit of a three-man booth working out there today.
We've got a four-banger. We're going four cylinders for the first hour. This is the first ever Buckeye Show spring football bash. So we're going to have myself, Tyvis Powell, DeVere's going to come in.
Oh, DeVere. I didn't know DeVere was coming in.
DeVere Posey will be in here. Tim May will be in here. And then in the entire 7 o'clock hour, those two will swap out. Tyvis will stay because he's like the true co-host tonight that was on the schedule. And then I added to it to make it more fun. Dave Holmes from 10TV, his last hurrah.
It is the finale.
The finale.
For Dave Holmes.
The finale of What Up Holmes. He'll be here for the whole 7 o'clock hour. So we'll try to get every piece of information we can get. We'll try to get him to wrong everyone that he can at 10TV. No.
Oh, I hope
we'll be nice with him.
Are you kidding? That's what I would do.
Yeah, we'll try to do that.
When is he officially done? Tomorrow?
Sunday, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe Monday we can have him on and then he can go on his FU tour.
Monday you have him back on
that would
the
be
show.
Great.
Come by in studio, you know? In
Why person. Not? He's my guest.
Yeah. He's a guest in my corn.
That's right. He's my guest.
Yeah.
You're gonna
yeah.
tell me that my guest can't come in here?
Can't
You're gonna
tell me
ban
that?
My guest? No.
Uh-uh.
All right. Buckeye Show spring game bash.
Spring football bash
okay.
coming up.
Bash at the beach. Back page.
The Back Page. The Back Page. With Common Man and T-Bone.
Sponsored by Care Heating and Cooling. When you need a company you can trust, call 1-800-COOLING.
Bone. Well, man, Margot Robbie has had so much success with the latest movie she was in was obviously Barbie. That did pretty well. She was obviously cast as Barbie. She has a production company now, and apparently the next step in her movie career is another childhood thing that people played with that she's going to turn into a live action film that will be Monopoly, which I don't
really.
Are we
jonesing for a Monopoly movie?
What
is that?
I don't even
play
know.
A board game for 2 hours.
Well,
until we get tired of it, and
I don't
rage
know.
Quit
again. I don't mean I'm not. I don't know if Hollywood's aware of this, but we already have Monopoly. It's called The System We Live In Now.
It's the man.
Is Monopoly, where it's like, oh, you'd like to live somewhere? Got to have some money to buy the property. Oh, you buy enough properties, you can start charging people. That's the system
we have. I'm quite sure there will be some sort of social commentary.
Yes, there will be
some inside
social
the movie.
Points about this.
I get it.
Yeah.
Also, Margot Robbie, is she going to be in it or just produce it?
I don't know. I'm guessing. It says
she
Robbie's
will
Monopoly will be a live-action take on the classic board
She's
game.
Going to be the Monopoly guy.
Yeah. She will wear a monocle.
She could have a monocle and a white mustache, and I'd still watch it.
I still tell you, one of the greatest.
She'd still look good.
Did you guys ever see the movie The Big Short? The financial collapse movie?
Yeah.
If you didn't, there's a part
in that?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. There's a part in that. It's all about the 2008 financial collapse, but there's a moment where they're explaining very boring financial things to you, and because they know it's going to be boring, they say, and now, here's Margot Robbie drinking champagne in a bubble bath to explain this to you. And then it's her naked in a bubble bath explaining something like tranches or something.
That's great.
Yeah, it was a great.
That's great.
That was one of the best cameos ever in a movie. And it actually made a lot of sense with what they were doing.
I didn't realize until I gave it my second watch, because I think she was still kind of on the rise, that she was in Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah.
She is very much, that is her in Wolf
of... she's in it.
In Wolf of Wall Street, yes. And how about LSU basketball star Flauje Johnson? She has signed name, image, and likeness deals with brands like Puma, Experian, Powerade, JBL, and TurboTax.
Experian, like the credit score people?
Apparently. They're trying to get you to know you can get your credit done.
Get your credit check?
Yeah.
Isn't that what John Cena does? And you do commercials
I think he
for
does
him?
Do. I think you're right.
Maybe so.
There's also an image here of her. This is from Front Office Sports. She has a brand new Mercedes AMG G63. That would be a G-Wagon.
Let her live.
That's worth over $180,000. That's right. Like, good to see that. I think, you know, she's one of the stars in the women's game, and that's cool that she's getting to take part in
the
that.
The G-Wagons kind of creep me out a little bit.
I'm like,
personally not a fan,
like,
but
not,
I know people like
you're not
like
even
them.
Trying to not be Hitler. I mean, that is what he rode in. Like, that's... Look,
I don't think Mercedes puts that in the sales materials.
Well, no, like, but it's just like, that's what
people
he's...
people that want
when
to
he's,
be.
When he's riding to Goebbels' house, that's what he was in.
It's kind of like how Volkswagen has sidestepped the whole the Beetle was his idea kind of thing, you know? Where they were like,
that's just a great car.
No, it is. It's a great car.
He had nothing to do with this.
Yeah. They've tried to avoid that.
Hitler liked to breathe air, right? Like, we...
Yeah, that's the same thing.
It's not the same thing.
I'm not saying all Mercedes are like that, but that particular model, to me, is very... I call it, my little code for that when I'm driving is, oh, look, there's a Heil.
Oh, no.
I'm sure. Like the brand of these microphones.
Oh, yeah, those are...
Heil.
These are actually Heil microphones.
They are Heil microphones.
Heil Sound is the name
of
the company.
I've always wondered why they named that.
Very nice microphones.
And I don't want to know.
I don't ask questions.
I don't want to know.
All right, the bonanza that is the Buckeyes show coming up next. We're back on Monday to recap all the spring game goodness. Talk to you then. Common Man and T-Bone on The Fan.
Fan Traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza.
You're going to find traffic is moving slowly on southbound 270 on the east outer belt between Main Street and I-70, and some more slow traffic on eastbound 70 downtown between the 71 West Split and Livingston Avenue. This report is sponsored by Oaks Roofing and Siding. Your home's roof should be built to last, like the reputation of Oaks Roofing and Siding. They have hundreds of reviews backing up their quality. For free design, estimate, and payments as low as $99 a month, call 866-661-OAKS or visit Oaks RoofingandSiding.com. I'm Nicole for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
This is a Fan Action Update.
This Action Update is brought to you by Tipico. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Both the Guardians and Reds in action tonight. First place Guardians are at home taking on the first place Yankees. Cleveland is plus 125 on the money line with an over-under total of 8.5 runs. The Reds are in Chicago and are a minus 175 favorite over the White Sox. Reds 6-6 so far this year. For your Tipico Action Update, I'm Scotty Vegas.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus. The Fan. The Fan. Sports Center.
Good evening. I'm Ryan Baker. Play wrapping up round two of the Masters. Scottie Scheffler is your leader at minus -7. He's through 12 holes today. Max Homa and Bryson DeChambeau both sit one shot back at minus -6. They are finished with their round. Tiger Woods is one over par and will make the cut for a record 24th straight time at Augusta. Ohio State's Neil Shipley is plus +3, and it looks like he will make the cut as well, as the projected cut line right now is plus +4. Ohio State wraps up spring football with the spring game tomorrow at noon. Our coverage on The Fan kicks off at 10 a.m. with The Fan Tailgate Show. Guardians supposed to start a series with the Yankees tonight at Progressive Field, but that has been postponed by weather. The Reds are in Chicago to face the White Sox at 7:40. This one's sponsored by NBC4. Watch McKenna King at 6 a.m. Get your most accurate forecast only.